call this meeting back to order, BOE. And we're going to go ahead and just start on the deliberation. And
so Haxton is the only thing on today's.
On today's, and I've got that, and plus I have all the rest of ones. There's not a lot of ones that have been tabled or no action's been taken from earlier BOE sessions. I think we have a total of about 11 besides today's.
But we reviewed that, didn't we?
Haxton.
The Poverty Gulch, we really didn't review it.
Just because it didn't show.
We talked about it, but we didn't really take action on it. But either way, I mean, we have to take action today on it because we're not rescheduling things.
So. On 73, did they just...
On which one?
Is there anything else other than just this report?
There, 73, 72, and 71 is all we have for that information, yes, sir, is what we've supplied.
I mean, there's nothing other
you're,
than
you're
just...
You're fine, Kelly. Okay. You're fine. Okay. You're fine.
Just a printout?
Yes, sir.
No appraisals?
No, sir.
And no explanation other than the word square foot?
Correct.
And that's only on one of them?
That's just on the one.
On the 71.
Well, on that one, where we've got a square foot, that'd be an error that taken up in regular, like a regular BOE session?
Yes.
Well, they can go to the State Tax Commission, too. I mean, the fact is that we have no contact information and have...
Well, a lot of people measure different. They measure the inside.
Inside versus the outside.
Versus the outside, and we've had that come up several times, you know.
But we have to take action since it's on the BOE. Summer BOE, we have to do something.
But it's been this value since 07. I mean, it's not...
This is the first year they've appealed. Well, they didn't appeal last year.
It has
that
to
way.
Be the following.
Along the square foot.
02 has gone on the books in 08.
Okay.
So it has changed. But they're saying the land was 23, but they're not saying anything about the house appraisal, I guess. But they don't say we're just appealing the land, you know.
Well, I'm gonna move that we deny BOE number 0071, 0072, and 0073.
I'm going to second that and let them appeal. Use their option to...
So, Jim Eust, you've got those BOE numbers. You got it first by me, second by Danny Strahan. Discussion?
If we deny it and then the assessor gets a phone call and they say, you got our square footage wrong, and he goes out there, can they still come back to regular BOE even though we denied this one? Can we do that as a...
Bob, can we do that? If we deny because if we've been denied and then all of a sudden they come back and we identify later on next month or say that the square footage was wrong, is a clerical error, square footage, can there be action taken this fall?
By the regular BOE.
If it's clerical.
If it's a clerical error, and I'd have to research whether that's a clerical error, you could probably make a change based on a clerical error.
Okay, so possibly. Definite maybe is what I'm hearing from the attorney.
I have to look at it. You can't just nail me with it.
Sure we can.
Why not?
No, we do that all the time.
Where do you make the big bucks?
Exactly. Any more discussion? All those?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Did they contact you, James, on this square footage?
Not that I know of.
They just didn't give us much information to go by.
And this wasn't a phone call. This was a show-up.
This was a show-up with
and
no...
The second and third one, they didn't put square footage. They didn't put any, you know, land, nothing on the third
one. No reason, and they're supposed to.
The second one, they put the price of the land, but not the... So. Okay.
Shut up. All those in favor of the deny, say aye.
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 One abstention.
4-0 with one abstention, Kelly Trimble. And that will conclude today's, except for the one we're here now to talk about. Let's move on to BOE number 0055, also known as the Branson Airport LLC. All right. Where do we, who wants to start off? And I'll listen to the referee here. And if we have questions, we have all the members here to ask questions, but I don't know if we... Do you have a question for the...
I have questions for them.
You do have questions for them?
I have a few.
Okay.
But I'll wait until you...
Hold on here. You went ahead of the questions. I want to make sure we're asking questions and not just conversating with them here, so...
Let me
I'd really do a friendly visit with him.
I know you would. We can do that at supper time, James. All right, go ahead. Who do you want up there? Here's the question. Go ahead.
You're projecting 111,000 in plain goods this year. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. You're anticipating that to grow into the future?
Correct.
Do you have any idea if there's a particular rate at which you anticipate that to grow, or how do you anticipate that to grow?
By us attracting more airlines and more service.
Describe numbers. You're going to grow 3% a year?
There's no projection like that for our business. I mean, you know, the FAA, I can tell you what the FAA growth rate is on there. There's projections available for that. You know, right now it's negative as described in there. It's a negative growth rate from an industry standard. You know, we believe we're going to continue to attract airlines over time.
Okay.
But I don't have a projection into the future beyond.
In the 07 bond financial projections that was submitted for the bonds, you projected 180,000 in payments in 09, 275,000 in 2010. So you went to 2013, it looked like.
Right. And that in that, we had 239,000 in payments, I believe, projected for 2010, and that has been adjusted. All we've done to this point is adjust that downward to 211,000.
Okay.
And that's all we've done to this point, because that's we have to submit that budget.
So you've gone to 211 is basically as far right. as you've gone for the
yes.
adjustments now. Okay.
Correct. And, you know, but we've, you know, because of that, we fully expect future year projections to be down as well.
I sure. mean. Yeah, they'll be proportionally
correct.
Reduced. Understood. Okay.
So do you expect next year's inflations to be more or less than this year?
211.
211. You're
saying 211 is what you're...
That's this year. So, yeah, next year we definitely believe will be more. Whether or not, you know, AirTran adds one flight and Frontier adds a flight, or, you know, Branson Air Express is here operating with, you know, three more departures, or we attract another airline, I can't answer that, because we're in the the fall season for airline service planning starts, you know, planning for airlines, their planning cycle, and when they make those decisions, those scheduled decisions, is about December and January. That's why we typically, when we announce service for the spring, it's in February. That's what, if you look at when we have announced our service, that's when it occurs. So, you know, I'm always talking to the airlines, and I'll be talking to several airlines in that time period, seriously, about service for April. But which ones or any that will be on board for April, I don't know.
So your primary growth, as I understand it, is from adding airlines and not necessarily from the expansion of the flights from existing airlines?
Well, I think our existing airlines have the potential to expand service. Frontier is doing very well in Denver right now. They're at 5 flights a day. Mm-hmm. They've got 3 flights a day to Milwaukee.
Oh, stupid question. You fly here to Denver?
Yes.
What does it cost to fly from here to Denver?
It varies.
No, I mean... Roughly.
It varies a lot. I mean,
a lot.
Introductory fare, $79.
Okay. My daughter wants to go to Denver.
Yeah, you're right. It was. Wait, how do you preface that question?
And I said, okay. And she's like, I can fly from Frankfurt for this and that. And
if she buys it early in advance, she'd be able to get it.
She didn't come up with this idea.
Okay.
3 days from going, so... I didn't know y'all flew to Denver.
Yeah, so Frontier is flying to Denver 5 times a week, and they're flying to Milwaukee 3 times a week, and the loads are very good. So, you know, for us going into the winter planning cycle, we'll of course go back to Frontier and ask them to add flights for the spring. Same is true of AirTran.
Of the total air traffic originating or destinating in this region, it looks like right now, if Springfield is, what did you say, like 400,000?
A little less, yeah.
Okay. XNA is?
600.
So that's a million plus. You're 110.
Right.
And what else would you compete with? Maybe Tulsa, Little Rock?
Well, honestly, I don't feel that we compete at all. There's competition, obviously, to some degree with Springfield and Northwest Arkansas. You know, because people are flying out of our airport, but there's only about 25-30% of our traffic is outbound. The rest of it's inbound. So our goal, I feel we compete with people's couches. you know, we want to get you up off the couch and onto our low-cost airplane to come to Branson.
I'm actually going somewhere.
Okay, more direct there.
Okay, well, I'm trying to draw something out of here. Do you anticipate your market share relative to some of these other airports to grow by any significance in the near term?
Are we going to grow at the same pace as Springfield and Northwest Arkansas?
Well, I guess are you going to grow at the same pace as Springfield and North Arkansas? That would be a
negative growth.
You're going to keep the same market share, and you're going to grow. You know, if the total number of employments in the area is a certain amount, and you keep the same market share, and that grows or declines a certain amount, that's one way to look at it. But is your share of what's happening going to grow?
This is my speculation on what I believe.
I mean, market share doesn't apply to something like that because there's market share is millions of people out there.
No, I'm looking at. He's saying 111,000. Where I'm going with this, 111,000 employments this year. I'm trying to make a projection of over the next 50 years, what kind of employments you're going to be expecting over the next 50 years. The next part of that is going to be what kind of net per employment are you expecting from the operation of the airport over the next 50 years.
Yeah.
How is that number going to change? And that will come. That will get somewhere toward your all's capability to pay a rent. It might be an indication of what the market rent of the property is going to be over the next 50 years. Rather than just saying, right now your operations don't support the current market rent.
Right.
I'm trying to project there's going to be a growth. Or you're assuming there's
going
to be a growth.
Well, we certainly hope there is. I mean, that's what we believe.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
so the bottom
you're assuming that there's going to be a growth or you guys would be walking from the property.
Right.
I think.
Yeah.
So we're trying to get, I'm trying to get a handle on what's the potential for growth, what kind of rate of growth would there need to be in order for there to be a positive value to this industry.
Truthfully, because of our business model and because of the uniqueness of what we're doing here, I truthfully cannot answer that. I mean, I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. I mean, we're in the middle of the worst aviation climate ever.
That there's been in a long time.
Now, we have been able to attract two major low-cost carriers, which I think speaks very highly of our staff and our abilities in this market to be able to do that. But will we be able to do it again? I don't know. Will we be able to do it next year or the year after? Will these airlines expand their service? You know, will whatever revenues per passenger we can generate, will those be capable of being generated at higher levels of employments? You know, I don't know the answers to any of those. And that's why we've looked at the industry as a whole and what it does.
You're in a development phase of your operation, of your business model at the moment.
Right.
I'm guessing you're looking toward some point in the future where you get to some mature level of development. Do you have a feeling for how many employments that represents? I mean, do you think that it's, I mean, is your objective 500,000, 1,000,000, 750,000, 2,000,000, or do you have a feeling for that?
Well, it will depend on what revenue per passengers we can generate on a consistent basis.
Okay. The revenue per passenger, most of the comps that David came up with were $15 to $20 mm-hmm. per employment.
Correct.
As I recall, the big sell of the private airport was that the unique operation allowed you all to, for lack of better words, play games with how the competition among various vendors and stuff worked, to where the airport, as I understood it, you guys were expecting a higher revenue per employment than an otherwise comparable publicly run airport would have been.
Right. Well, we do believe over time we will be able to do a better job than what some of the municipal airports have been able to do.
So you get a higher revenue.
So, yeah, of course. We do hope in time that we'll be able to do that. We also believe that, you know, as the market proves itself, the potential to be able to extract more revenue from that route exists.
Okay.
But it's not proven yet. I mean, airlines right now are in the process of trying to prove these routes. We've got AirTran and Frontier doing very well on those two routes, but that data of how they're doing doesn't even come out for other airlines to see until 6 months after the route is flown. So, you know, we don't know what other airlines are going to think of that data. or what they're going to do or respond to as far as this market goes. We believe it's a very strong market, but what I believe doesn't mean that airline B is going to fly the route. I mean, that's my job to convince them.
Do you
but
believe your expenses are going to be lower than an otherwise comparable publicly operated airport?
Yeah. I think we'll control expenses better than some municipalities do. I think we'll be able to ultimately...
When the property is operated at maturity and you have half a million or three-quarters of a million in claimants a year or something like that, what kind of margin do you think this airport would be getting?
I can't.
Okay. Lots of questions there. Dave? I had two questions. One, fire protection and ambulance. Is that which... Is the responding fire department out there? Is that central or western? Or?
Well, we have our own fire department and own police department that receives a commission from Taney County. So the police officers that are there and the firefighters that are on airport work for Branson Airport, and we pay them. Okay. Now we
but
if do.
There was a fire out there.
Now we do have mutual aid agreements.
That's what I'm.
Just
saying.
Like the city of Branson has a mutual aid agreement with the city of Hollister. So if we had a major incident out there, those entities would respond in mutual aid capacity, just like...
Who's that, is what I'm asking?
It's all of them. We have mutual aid agreements with all of them.
It should be Western, I would think.
Yeah, so. But it's Western, but also we have a mutual aid agreement with all of the responding
fire. And I mean, Omaha probably,
yeah.
Too. So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then when you set your budget for everything here, did you not budget anything for real estate tax?
Correct. We didn't from the beginning. We have understood this the law here and never believed that real estate tax
and
should
be. The county
be
believed that there would be. So somewhere in the negotiation, evidently, there was a
disconnect.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I got to jump in here. I don't know that the county understood that. I think I stated that earlier. Because we sat through all these discussions, and the only concern I remember is us pulling the current value of the land away from the school, that they wouldn't be hurt in that respect. I don't believe we did. I don't believe we ever looked at, and I shared this with the school folks after our break earlier, I don't think we looked at this.
I think it was clear to the attorneys that the property itself, the real estate, the fee simple ownership would be exempt. That's the reason that they did what they did, so that they could do the municipal bonds, and that it would be exempt property. There was no doubt in anybody's minds as far as lawyers that it would be exempt property. But also, the leasehold would be taxable. I think everybody realized that, if there's any value to the leasehold.
Bob, could you explain leasehold? Is that why Kelly's asking these questions, whether there's a
basically any
value to the leasehold?
Yeah, the issue here is not whether the property is exempt or not.
The issue is whether
what we're talking about, the leasehold. Is the leasehold exempt? That's not an issue. It's not exempt. It's the value of the leasehold and whether it has a value or it has a zero value or a negative value.
Well said.
Okay. Well, then.
So that's why Kelly's asking the question.
He's trying to.
I'm building a model and making the calculations and seeing.
Let me recap. What we're hearing is the projections, even on the bond issuance, we're only a 5-year projection. Those numbers have been revised. So what Kelly's trying to get to is, what's the value of this airport? Eventually, it's going to start making money, and we're going to see a value at a certain point. To
positive thinking there. Huh?
Well, and then at the end there'll be a value, and if that value exceed, is there a value to that on the lease? And that's what Kelly's trying to get to, is get to 45 years out, which is near impossible.
Well,
Dave, go ahead.
We'll be at that time, but we're dealing with today.
Right.
And I understand the leasehold, and you know, but if the communications was not made then to evidently the assessor, I mean, because pretty well everybody assumed that they're not going to, the leasehold, if that's the situation, and the lawyers all understood that for both sides, that there was not going to be a profit, so the leasehold would not be worth anything for a few years.
Well, the first few years is not relevant. It's the present value of the lease as it's extended over the 50 years, you've got to come up with a present value based upon the 50-year experience.
So the value is not based on right now. The value is based on the anticipation of the next 50 years.
I'm not remembering this like everybody in that room.
Before you jump on that, James, yeah. Was his statement correct just now? Did you hear Kelly's statement at the end?
The value is not based on right now. The value is based on the anticipation of the rent for the next 50 years.
The example at the time that the lease was entered into.
And this is a very speculative...
The example given in the Frontier case talks about... It simplifies it down and talks about, I think, a $250 lease, and that that's worth $250, and if it's or $500, and if it's worth only $250, that it's $250 times, you know, whatever many a month times the number of years in the lease, and that's if it's worth $500 instead of $250, that amount is the bonus value that's taxable, and you've got to take into consideration the number of years of the lease and what that value is going to be. But how do you determine what the value of the lease is going to be and how it does in years 30 through 50?
I think the more analogous case here, I mean, I think Frontier is analogous because what you've got is, you know, I mean, you're dealing with an airline and you're dealing with an airport lease. The Iron County case, though, where you've got a situation that's exactly similar to this, where a municipality or a political subdivision leased property to a private entity, the private entity paid lease payments equal to the debt service over the term of the bonds, and the Supreme Court said that there was no leasehold value there. The only difference between that case and this case, which frankly trends in Branson Airport's favor, is that in the Iron County case, the private entity had the ability to purchase the property for $100 at the end of the period of the lease. In this case, the property reverts back to the county as the transaction collapses.
But that would be based on the facts of that case as well, which may differ from this case. Were there valuations done in that case?
Well, that was the issue there, is whether or not you value it based on, you know, the cost approach or the income approach or the bonus value approach. You know, how you get to the bonus value approach, and you know, as that made its way through the, you know, BOE system, the state tax commission, and then all the way up to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court said that you have to use bonus value, and in this particular case where you've got a private tenant paying the entire cost of the financing of the airport, of the industrial property in that particular case, they held that there was no bonus value in that
situation. Given the valuations in that case, basically you base it on the bonus value, but you still have to come up with valuations of what that bonus value is if it exists.
But I mean, I think though at the end of the day, what you've got is a situation where through the rent payments, you've got a party that is paying off the entire cost of the improvement plus interest. You know, so the only bonus value would be, I think, and you know, obviously, sir, you correct me where I'm wrong. I think that you think that I'm wrong, but you know, if you've got a developer who's building a build-to-suit property, that developer is going to, you know, in what return they're going to try to make, they're going to look at the cost of the building, plus their cost to finance, plus whatever their reasonable return is, and they're going to forecast that into a lease rate.
Yeah. Okay.
In this particular case, you've got a municipality that, you know, at the end of the day, isn't in this for a profit, but at the end of the term of the lease, they get a free airport.
I think the bottom line to what you're saying is what do we project? If our employments, if we had a nice clean projection and knew for a fact, within 50 years from now, we were going to be at 1 million employments, anybody in the industry could reasonably come up with a justification to build that curve, then maybe you could calculate some leasehold value here today over the term of the lease. But because of the speculative nature of this business, you can't do that. Nobody can.
We have to create a value.
Create a value, and that's what we've done. That's what our appraiser did with the information that's available. But nobody can project what our employments are going to be over the next 50 years.
But you didn't in your prospectuses.
Well, you can make a projection, but there's risks involved.
And that's
the projection is, which is reflected in the discount rate used.
Guys, why don't you just? I'm just going to ask some questions here with the board here. I mean, we could probably go back and forth and debate for two or three more hours here and get nowhere closer. Danny, are you somewhere where you think you know what, how you're going to be, how you're leaning right now?
Oh, my boat?
Yeah.
Yes.
And your motion and all that. You have an idea. Dave, do you have a pretty good idea which way you're leaning?
No.
Okay. Just pause. I'll come back to that.
All right.
Chuck, do you kind of have an idea where you're coming, where your thinking is right now?
I think so.
Okay. How about you, Kelly?
I'm not standing on solid rock.
That's fine.
I have an idea of how I'm going to calculate it, but I was going to discuss some inputs into this model with whoever's making this decision and see what kind of reasonable inputs people think and see what this tells us.
Okay.
Right now, just plunking in numbers in here, it's not looking real rosy for whoever owns the airport. I mean, it looks great for the tax thing, but not for...
Okay.
I have a simple question.
Okay, hold on. Okay, Kelly, thank you. Let me just go back to you. Go ahead, Chuck.
What I'm hearing from some is that this leasehold value is what we is the legal right thing to go about.
That's how I understand it. That's the decision we have to make.
All right.
Right, the value on the leasehold value, correct.
But it is a leasehold value is the issue.
Correct.
What that is.
Correct.
It's not whether they're taxed or not.
Well, when we set the value, that'll determine the value. I mean,
right. But I mean, there was talk about what was the construction cost of the building. We're not looking at that. That's not how you set the value.
Well, you set the value. Well, that's a factor within there because they're paying $6.8 million a year for the next 4 years to pay off the bond services, and that's part of the factors in there.
Only how it affects the lease, the building, how they affect the lease. If we were going to actually assess the property and its worth, we'd have to assess us, the county.
Right. Let me ask the question differently. Can we, the Board of Equalization, assess the value on the cost of the project alone?
On the cost
of the construction of the project,
what
the buildings are worth.
No, we can't use that approach because we own the property.
Well, okay. that's one approach to look at the leasehold value.
You got to do it in leasehold value. You can't say the property is worth this much.
Where I was getting to asking them, do you have an idea what the fee simple value is? One way to approach a leasehold value is divides the ownership interest between the leased fee and the leasehold. So if you know the fee simple value, and you know what the leased fee is because it's going to be the present value of the lease payments. So you discount the lease payments to a present value, subtract that from the fee simple, and the difference should be the value of the leasehold. But the lease payments, I'm thinking the present value of the lease payments is going to be something like $85 million, depending on how you want to discount it. So I'm playing with numbers on the market rents. They're going to have some pretty solid rents growth in order for the market rent present value to exceed the $85 million.
Right.
So that's one way to look at it. I guess what I'm looking for is some solid numbers and feelings from people to see if it's reasonable to assume that there's that you could show a positive value to this lease in the current term.
Right. Chuck, go ahead. I think you were going to make a statement, were you? Question?
I got another question, but I can wait.
Do you have a question?
I was going to talk a little bit about negotiating.
Okay. Let's, Chuck, go ahead and have a question here.
Well, I guess
the negotiation could come in the form of a motion, too, because, I mean, their position is zero, so when we're not supposed to negotiate there, we're supposed to come up with a valuation here.
Right.
So, based off majority vote here.
This is 60055, correct?
That's correct. 0055, right. 060055.
And the property is valued?
At commercial valuation on the improvements alone is $15,165 and $3.
So how was that value arrived at?
The worksheet below it shows you where he came up with valuations, such as the first line item is the control tower. He has a valuation of $58,174, which we found out is actually on Branson land, so that needs to be assessed on that property.
Let me chase the bottom line. Are we talking the value of the property or leasehold?
He put it on as the improvements is where he would put
the cost of the improvements.
And that's correct. Where it would be on that one.
Right. So that's where it is. It's not the land because we own the land. So he put it on the improvements only.
So he's valuing the fee simple and the improvements at $15 million. You have to add the land at a couple of grand an acre, or maybe $3,000 an acre. You're talking $1.5 million. You're talking something in the neighborhood is $18 million is what he's figuring the leasehold value to be.
Is that right, James?
What he's figuring the fee simple value to be, rather. I'm sorry.
That's my understanding is that James has done it on a fee simple and not on a leasehold. Is that right?
Well, sure. No, the only thing we had to do is add an L to take care of being able to. The courts is plain on that. I mean, you can't. I can't use the same number and charge a tax bill against what the property owns through the process. So we add, use the word lease.
Okay.
Improvements on lease land.
His value is fee simple minus land value is the $15 million. If you add the land value back, you're going to get around $18 million.
So we're talking two different ways of valuing the
property.
Correct. Yeah, either leaseholds
or fee simple. Right. Yeah. And the court cases that would have been presented were been leasehold.
And is there an acceptance that that is the right way to value this property?
Bob?
What, a leasehold?
Leasehold or fee simple on this type of...
Fee simple? What? No. What's the question?
How is the county to value the property, either leasehold or fee simple?
If you're going to tax the fee simple, you'll be taxing the county because the county holds the fee simple interest in the property, and we're exempt. So is the TDD, so their leasehold interest is exempt. And they have at least to the Branson Airport LLC, what they have is a leasehold interest. They do not have a fee simple interest.
So we have to recap Chuck's question, we need to look at the leasehold only.
That's what we're valuing here.
Okay.
To adjust what you're saying, what the county and the TDD own isn't fee simple. What they own is actually what's called leased fee. The fee simple is divided between the leased fee and the leasehold.
For valuation purposes, we do have a fee simple. It's subject to the lease.
Fee simple subject to the lease is called leased fee.
Okay. All right. Let's stop there for a second. I think at this point, you know, it is up to the board to determine, you know, to deny the request, to completely value this at zero, or a value in between. Our decisions throughout the month of July have been all of the above. We've done everything. We've not given all the requests. We've given partial requests. We've done a deny. So when you said time to negotiate or want to do that, just in a form of a motion and see what if anyone wants to throw a motion out, you know, we still have plenty of discussion if it gets a second. But you know, we could evaluate and debate this, but when it all comes down to it, we've got to make a decision. So, does anybody want to take a stab at anything?
I can. Well,
no statements.
I don't want to
motion.
Jump in.
Okay.
I have a narrative, I guess.
No narratives, please.
Okay.
Appreciate the narrative, but not right now.
Okay.
Kelly, what's your figure then? That you've basically done all this talking for a figure, and I would like to know what your figure is.
Well, you have to understand the inputs here.
I don't want to know what your figure is.
You won't understand the figure unless you...
Oh, he'll just...
Bottom line.
Bottom lines, the inputs you have to put into this spreadsheet in order for this lease to have a positive value, using that kind of calculation that they're talking about, looking for a bonus value, the inputs are just... You know, way up, pretty far up there. And they're not completely out of line, but they're pretty optimistic. And there's some other assumptions that you'd have to make. But I think that as a practical matter, this lease could be valued as having a negative value. But we know from our discussions, these guys see a value in the lease. If they didn't, they'd walk away from it. There is some nominal value to the lease that I don't think you can really accurately estimate using a discounted cash flow calculation.
Do you have a dollar figure?
So my dollar figure is like $1 million, $2 million, something in that range.
So you're in the $1 million to $2 million range is what you're...
Yeah, is what if they put that thing up for sale, someone might pay them a couple of $3 million, maybe $5 million to buy their lease out. And
so if I recap it incorrectly, you just correct me. Otherwise, we're just going to say what I say. You're saying we would change the valuation of the improvements from the $15,165.
That'd be one way to do it.
Down to about between $1 million and $2 million.
I'd say between $1 million and $3 million, maybe 10 to 20% of that.
$1 million and $3 million.
So which Danny, would be like 2% of what they've got in.
Danny, is that clear enough for you of where he's at?
As clear as mud as far as what he talked about. I know the figure.
You got the figure, though. All right, so we'll get that.
All right.
Dave, what questions do you have? Is this number in the negotiating range that you're thinking? Danny, if you want to make a motion, Danny, I don't know what the vote will be, so. And just before you say something, what if we do a negotiated set of price, they still have the option to appeal.
Right.
So just because we may go through all these iterations, they still may go on.
I understand that totally, and I'm I know that they're going to say zero. I mean, they've made that clear, but we're in a negotiating form, and I would like to hear.
I don't like the word negotiation. No, you guys are making a decision.
We're evaluating what the value of this leasehold is.
Okay.
AKA negotiating, but that's not the case. We're just saying we're setting valuations based off leasehold value.
I'm just thinking that there's got to be some consideration given to by them. And I know what they're saying, I know what the law is, but, you know, there's a fire in an ambulance district and that's going to not get any taxes, but going to have to respond. The school somewhat, I'm just looking at.
That's what you're thinking. You're thinking.
I feel like we've got to be able to
do something. Okay.
I mean, it is a private business.
Okay.
Even though it is on county land and everything. And, of course, it's just hard to get a handle around. I'm trying to decide how I can do my business and make it same way on leasehold.
Chuck, do you have a statement or a question or a comment or a motion?
I care the same way you do, Dave, and I think probably everyone does. But we don't have that option. We've got to come up with a value because of what it's worth.
I understand that. And
based off the lease.
And, you know, Kelly's our... He's our long-winded appraiser.
Boy, that's a great subtitle.
I don't know. Will we find somebody any closer?
I'm afraid that to a degree our hands are tied on it. If no matter what decision we make, if we make something other than zero and they want to take it to state tax commission based on what our attorney has kind of agreed with their attorney that if the state tax commission bases it on that, then, you know, I really wouldn't go with like that. But
I wouldn't either. But what I'm saying is everything that they've given us is like a third of the projection.
Yeah.
Of what they originally thought. Yes. Their projections
on the bond is lower than they projected. They only projected 5 years out, and I think we all agree it's less than they expected.
Right.
From the projections, right. The actuals from the projections are low.
What Danny and I saw as we sat down before Jeff got here was twice the numbers when you were looking for bucks from the county, you got some from the city, and it's half of that. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Close, I mean, ballpark.
Yeah, the actual numbers for first quarter 2010 were whatever was in there, 30,000. So we're obviously not going to get to that number.
Right.
And our actuals, the actuals for 2009 are in that report as well, which don't meet the projections that we had in the original OS.
Right. Go ahead.
And I hate to say this, but I will. One conversation that came up over and over again as we talked about it was we may end up with a drag strip. I mean, that's what was said, remember?
We've heard a lot of comments.
So. Different things.
I heard that, but that was my thought this morning. Yeah. What could it ever be used for if they decided to close down?
Well, I mean, that's really, but they're financially doing, they're doing fine. That's really not.
Right. And I'm sorry I said it, but my point is the valuation is, I've got to lean on Kelly's expertise.
Okay.
Can I elaborate a little on my?
Not yet. Not yet. Please.
I'm going to make a motion.
Okay, we have a motion. Here it goes.
I'm going to make a motion that we do 50% of the, because of the adjusted, everything that they've talked about is 50% of what they projected originally. So I'm going to make a motion that we do 50% of the okay. Value.
Let me get you a number, Danny. Here, the motion by Danny Strain was to adjust BOE 0055 to a improvements of 7 million. 582,500. 7,582,500 is the motion on the floor. Do we have any seconds? Any? I'm just looking through here. No second there. No second there.
Lower.
No second there. Motion's going to die for lack of second.
Well. You wanted one, and I give it.
I appreciate it, though, but we got to start somewhere. So you believe it should be lower?
I believe it should be lower.
Does you want to put that in the form of a motion?
Oh, let's see. Let me make a quick calculation.
Sure. Dave, do you have a number?
I can't be right.
Okay. It just becomes a little tough.
Well, it comes down to what do you think the value of that lease is?
Well, the reason my motion was because of the half of the projection that they had. I don't know any other way to go about it. You're going to figure Kelly thinks it's less because of his formula, and I'm just using a figure that. They're doing
right.
Half of what they thought they were going to do, so I'm okay. That's the reason I'm doing it that way.
Here's my basic thinking.
Okay.
They're doing 110,000, 111,000 claimants now.
Correct.
Their projections were basically 250-ish.
For year two, that's correct.
For year two. The case could be made that the reason they're not doing the 250 is because of the recession and problems in the airline industry, which people are hoping might recover. If the recession were to end mysteriously in the next 2 years, they would probably hope to go back on that track of 250,000-300,000 claimants a year. So if I were to run these calculations, assuming that you started at 245,000 claimants a year, projecting them to have a gross margin or a margin, I guess, of around $8 per employment, where their gross would be something like 25 or 30, and they're getting like a 20% of that, 20 or 25% of that. So that would be $8. I increase that 5% per year. The region is expected to grow faster than the rest of the United States. U.S. is projected to grow something like 2.5% to 3% per year, so 5% is kind of the upper edge of what's kind of reasonable. The margin should grow with inflation. Inflation has averaged 3.25% over the last 25 years. And that gives you a projected market rent, which if you discount it at 8%, has a present value of around $110 million. If you subtract the contract rents that they specified, now, I'm assuming that it goes up to the $8.9 million and stays at the $8.9 million through the term of the lease. I don't know if it does or not.
I think that's correct, right? Just so you...
If it's not at $8.9 million, it varies by maybe a $500,000. Maybe it goes down to 8.4.
Okay, so it makes one step to the 8.9
it peak and then starts
and has
to go down
some minor adjustments for God knows what for the remainder of the term.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you get a present value of that. That is near zero.
I mean, you can play with those numbers a little bit, but that's the kind of performance this place is going to have a positive leasehold estate. And you don't get a positive bonus value until 2030, roughly, 2029, or roughly 20 years in the future. If they were to sell this and if it was to have a positive lease value, someone's going to be looking at a real speculative value. But if you change these numbers a little bit to where they're looking at some initial year closer to $300,000 and it grows at, you know, even 4% or so, and you discount it at, and if it's less of a risky investment, instead of discounting it at 8%, you discount it something close to 7, the present value of the lease goes up quite a bit. I mean, it's like $30, $40, $50 million pretty quick. So there is a potential huge payoff for these people, but it's purely speculative, and I think someone's going to be looking at buying it at a speculative price that I can't really quantify. I'm just going kind of by my gut thinking, someone's going to pay like $2.5 or $3 million for this leasehold estate as a component of a larger purchase where they're buying out the whole airport operation, subject to the existing note. As a practical upshot of that, that gives them enough of a liability where they still have skin in the game and probably want to take this to the state tax commission.
So what was the number?
So
$2.5 million?
I'm going to say $2.5 million.
Is that a motion?
That's a motion.
So motion by Kelly Trimble on BOE number 0055 to set the improvements, commercial improvements, to $2.5 million.
I'll
second it.
Second for discussion by Chuck Pennell. Go ahead.
Then this is a work in progress, and these big gentlemen are not going to operate this thing at the current number of people that's flying in and out of there. They're in search of other airlines. They're going to try to reach their projection.
Yes.
And to try to reach that projection gives it a totally different value than what you're talking about in existence.
Yeah, right now they can't prove that they're ever going to be profitable. It's all supposition. That supposition has a value, but it's a small value, possibly. Now, what this does is, a year from now, you're going to be revaluing this, and 2 years after that, you're going to revalue it. And
I wouldn't bet on that one.
And if the recession goes away and they go straight to 250 or 300,000 employments in the next 2 or 3 years, and it looks like they're going to grow and all that stuff, then all of a sudden they're going to have a real substantial leasehold value, and the valuation is going to go to serious numbers probably, and it's going to be hard for them to argue that it's not if all of a sudden they're doing 3 or 4 times as much business as what they are now. But right, you know, with the level of business they have right now and the expectations in the market, it's hard to show that they have much value at all. And yet we know that they have some sort of value to the lease.
Okay. Dave, go ahead.
Wouldn't this be looked at every odd numbered year the same as anything?
And that's the point is, I would say, is based off the information snapshot we have, which is year one, the leasehold value in my eyes is zero. Now, every 2 years, the assessor is going to look at this, and when we get data, we're going to say, what are your employments? And we know basically what the pay-for-performance contract is with Branson, so we know if their volume is going up. So at that point, I see the value increasing or potentially increasing every other year.
Yeah, but we're now also publishing our monthly employments through that stakeholders meeting.
Okay, go ahead, sir.
Because we're going to be selling, and get it away from the language that we're in, we're going to be selling the equity of that place to somebody at the end of 10 or 15 years when these bond payments are down. The market value of that place is going to be $25 or $30 million.
That's right.
And taken on the expense. So we're saying here that we're going to look at this differently than some poor business that can't make their payments and they struggle along and they file. We're not looking Their projections turned around on them in 2 years.
Right.
Yeah. They turned around in 2 years. They can turn around. That, and some of these actual numbers was brought in when they had lost their specific airline that created these numbers. We're looking at numbers that has been created from maybe not full service year. And an income approach to value, you don't all of a sudden say, I'm going to value properties that's been open 6 months out of the year and try to determine how what the value of a property full 12 months out of the year is determined.
But the question that Dave said was, aren't we going to look at this every other year in the assessment year? Yes.
What are we going to look at Famous Dave's and all the private businesses in there? Are you willing to throw that in there for $1 million contributory value as the lease back to the payment of the bonds?
That's part of the discussion.
I honestly, my personal perspective on that is I don't think we have any concern about how many different places they rented to 10 restaurants in there. That should show on their bottom line, which makes their leasehold worth that much more.
That makes their leasehold worth more.
It's not, you know, we don't have to look at each one of those entities. We look at their bottom line.
And back to all the forgetfulness when we all know we're over 50.
Zero.
Well, I stood in entirely different meetings. When this county was going to build this airport, a road, and contribute about $6 million to getting this airport open, the argument was made then by an ex-commissioner that's not here today, look what all the good this is going to bring to the schools in open public meeting, open public forum, me arguing against them taking the road in. They promised then, oh, you're going to have the hangars, you're going to have the rent-a-cars, you're going to have restaurants, it's going to be able to be taxed, and the schools will enjoy this. If you'd been here, you would have heard it. I heard it. I was in the meeting.
But there's
I don't remember some of what you said, but I was there, and the dollars that the county was not going to put in $6 million. We were going to use part of the sales tax that they brought in. They would have to perform before the county put any money into it. We weren't going to put $6 million in. Some of that other, I don't remember either.
We're going to put $10 million in. $1 million a year is exactly what the terms were.
The fact is we never agreed at that time to put anything in. There were discussions regarding pay for performance, as Branson did. There were all kinds of potential. What we did was the TDD.
Okay.
But the reason I'm telling you that, Jim, is some questions coming back on why the assessor assessed it, if he knew these laws was this and knew. When I walked out of the meeting, I said, they're going to exempt that sucker. That was my statement as I went out the door.
Just keep in mind, we're talking about 422 of the 900 acres. So there's still 500 acres that are outside surrounding. Now, Dave, go ahead.
You made mention on one of the cases that you said gave favor to you because they had the right to buy it for $100 at the end of the term lease. Mm-hmm. How much value do you put in that?
I think it has a substantial value, and I think that
if the county was to negotiate right now with you that they would sell it to you at the end, renegotiate the lease a little bit and add that, would that add a tremendous value to your lease?
I'm sure it would, sir, but there are reasons that we couldn't, if that's something that you're proposing, there are reasons that we couldn't do that because that would jeopardize the tax-exempt status of the interest on the bonds.
All right.
So I can address that just a little bit.
No, that's all right. We don't need to. Go ahead.
So Kelly went through all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I had in the back of my mind, but I didn't say it, why do we not look at putting a value on it when there's a value to it? And then you bring it up, Jim, that you're thinking that it ought to be zero now. Is that what you said?
Well, my thought is...
Muddy the water for more.
Well, yeah, just to muddy the water. The leasehold, first of all, that's how we have to look at it. Right now, we can go through all these projections that Kelly went through in great detail, and, you know, once again, we're trying to project the value of an airport, the value of this lease 49 years from now. Well, the fact...
You're doing 2 years. You're looking at the value of the lease now.
Right.
Go ahead.
Well, yeah, but we're setting the value, right. I'm sorry. Setting the value, though, on current information.
Yeah, projecting out 47 years.
Correct. Well, at this point, I think in year 20, there may be a value.
Yeah, that's what this says.
Twenty to 30 years from now, there's value. I think the growth will continue on. The recession will. I mean, there's a lot of factors involved there, but you know, okay, that's one.
keep.
But to get to that to the point 20 years from now, you're going to have a whole lot of rent deficiency payments to make.
Absolutely.
So balance out whatever value this thing has in year 20,
you still
under these numbers, is balanced out by the rent deficiency.
Right.
Right now. So there's a lot of ins and outs of this. To answer Dave's question a minute ago, if there was a $100 buyout at the end of the 47 years, at this discount rate of 8%, if they were able to buy it out for $115 million, the present value of that would be 2.7% of that.
3.9?
Would be something like $3 million is what it would add to the value of the lease.
Okay.
Keep in mind also with respect to the figures that you were using to come up with the value in year 20, those are all gross figures as well and don't include expenses.
Well, I was using a margin of 20% on close to $30 a gross. So I was figuring you had a margin of $8 per plane.
I don't think we're going to ever come to any real solid factual. We have nothing that we can put our...
Well, this is way outside our realm of...
It is, and so... I think I'm going to call for the question.
Call for the question. All right, the motion, I'll restate the motion. The motion is to set commercial valuation on the improvements at $2.5 million. Jim and Eustace, is that correct? All right. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
We have one aye. I'm going to say aye.
I'll go aye too then.
Aye.
I was leaning towards that because
it's
a mute point because they're going to go right on to
it. Well, that's kind of part.
The reason I followed you is I thought maybe you'd come up with another motion, but if you're voting for this,
yeah.
I assume you're not going to.
Well, I let me finish the motion. Opposed?
Aye.
So motion carries 4-1. The reason, Chuck, was strictly because I think they're going to appeal no matter what. And,
well, and this sets it down to where if they have to pay under protest, it's a whole lot easier for them to do this level of tax than do that.
So, and I'm sure
$300,000 to try to pay under protest.
Well, you guys know your remedy for appeal. Motion does carry.
Can I ask a clarification? What you've done here is just valued the possessory interest of Branson Airport LLC at $2.5 million.
Yes, with very thin reasoning.
The appraised value of the leasehold at $2.5 million, not the assessed value. Is that correct?
That's
correct.
If I said assessed, I misspoke.
Yeah.
I meant true value in money. Of their possessory interest.
Well, but we're talking about appraised.
Annual tax bill.
30-ish, 30-some-odd. Hold on.
But the question the reason for the clarification is something that I mentioned to Bob, and that's a statute that I mentioned during my original presentation, 137.115, and I'll just read that, and it says, the true value in money of any possessory interest in real property in subclass 3, commercial property, where such real property is on or lies within the ultimate airport boundary, as shown by a federal airport layout plan, which ours does, as defined by 14 CFR 151.5, of a commercial airport having an FAR Part 139 certification, which ours does, and owned by a political subdivision, which ours is, shall be the otherwise applicable true value in money of any such possessory interest in real property, less the total dollar amount of costs paid by a party other than the political subdivision towards any new construction or improvements on such real property completed after January 1, 2008, and which are included in the above-mentioned possessory interest. In this case, we've got $30 million of contributions by a party other than a political subdivision towards the value, and under 137.115, the $2.5 million should be reduced to zero.
Well, and what I would say is you have sound like you have a good argument for the State Tax Commission.
Sounds like you guys going to say for Circuit Court, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we, you know, this argument or this discussion is way beyond what we have normally ever seen before on the Board of Equalization. So we have set basically what we thought was the fair and right thing to do, but obviously you've got your appeal remedies. So,
well, I don't hate to put Bob on the spot. To put Bob on the spot, what we just heard from this other attorney, is it valid? I mean, I don't see it's wise for us to send something, make somebody go to the court, whether it's whoever, if
well, first off,
if it's not a, you know, if it's clear,
hold on, please.
If he's clear, I mean, if there's what he said to us is so, why should it go through the court system?
It shouldn't, but it's going to take me a lot more time than just look simply at what he read in order to determine whether he's right. I mean, I think he's a real bright guy, and he's probably right, but, I mean, I'm going to have to do my own research. And, you know, it should, I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense for me to have to just defend if he appeals to the State Tax Commission and then end up getting zero. But
yeah.
If he does appeal to the State Tax Commission, and it is not all that much of a hardship to appeal to the State Tax Commission when, in fact, they already have their attorney. Now they're going to have to pay him something to do that. But it'll be a presentation much like today, only it'll be a lot shorter, a lot briefer. He'll present what he presents. And, of course, if we do an appraisal, we'll present what we present. And if we don't do an appraisal, then it's going to be real short. And sometimes these are even done with written direct testimony and perhaps cross, perhaps no cross on the written direct testimony. So be a very simple procedure.
And I appreciate that, Bob. Thank you. I mean, we're fully aware of what our rights are, but, you know, it's going to cost Branson Airport LLC money, and it's going to cost the county money to go forward and apply. And frankly, my opinion is, and granted I've got a stake in the game, is that the statute is pretty clear that, you know.
I wanted to say something about the statute, and I know, Jim, I apologize for interrupting.
Go ahead.
That statute was passed in 2008, August. This has been set up to be for this. This has nothing to do with the Supreme Court decision prior to that brought all this on. This statute has been established in 2008. Supreme Court decisions long before.
Okay.
So this new law hadn't even been taken toward the Supreme Court or whether it is going to be standing or not.
Right. All right. I think we need to end the discussion. The vote stands unless I have a motion to reconsider. If not, then we're going to go on to the next case.
Okay.
Could I just say thank you to all of you for considering this and spending the amount of time you did on it. We really do appreciate it. And thank you. And I just wanted to add one more thing on the schools. We did our own research on that prior to this coming in. We didn't say anything, but there, in 2007, we paid $780 in taxes to the county. Mm-hmm. So for the entire 900 acres. So we believe. I talked to Steve. He doesn't recall a promise, as Danny stated, but
he did a representative. He sent a representative. He didn't attend.
Well, but the bottom line is we believe that we will be paying, you know, on Branson land much more than $800 a year to into the Hollister schools because of the assets and improvements on Branson land. So
appreciate it, Jeff. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We really appreciate it.
Oh, if I could interject.
No. We're going to move on.
Thank you.
No, the board chair is going to overrule. Sorry.
No. No, I'm just going to tell them.
Nope.
If they can't appeal, they can do it before they have to pay.
All right, we're going to move on to, we've got a bunch of them right now to move on.
See you, schools.
Bob, Bob can finish talking out there in the hallway, and I'll talk to Bob in a second. We can go on to a few other ones here. Let's just go ahead and jump into the next controversial one. Which that should run Bob a running back in here. And that is the Russ Cook, who is representing, it looks like, a bunch of properties. We call them also known as the
condo deal.
And the BOE number, which is what everyone wants to know about, is BOE number, I'm looking on my sheet.
Jim,
guys, help yourself. We're going to be casual here, so if you want some food, go on down there, and we're going to keep on moving. I'm looking for the BOE number. Donna, help me out just one second. Where's the BOE number on this document here? BOE C attached.
Okay.
And then where would be the C attached?
Oh, These are.
Yeah, but it's one BOE number.
Is it no. Not? Those are all.
Okay, so.
Oh, wait a minute. You're saying no, because we don't, because we haven't entered all these.
Okay, so it's just one group of BOE stuff.
And the ones that have been crossed out were not.
Okay, so I want to recap everyone's thoughts here is that this is the Russ Cook representing multiple owners of the nightly rental timeshare, nightly rental where they have agreed that no one room will be rented more than 120 nights a year, and that, and just recapping everyone, we heard this originally on July 14th. Just also want to let you know that the last motion died for a lack of second, which was mine, which I moved to move the condos on the list to 65% residential, 35% commercial, based off of their documentation showing that they will not rent this more than 120 nights a year. That did die for a lack of second. There was a question in the last discussion. We had some of these items, some of these parcels, we're already 100% residential. Those have now been removed off the list. We have a revised list of what we're talking about. We're talking about properties that are primarily commercial. If that gets everyone back up to speed here. So let's jump in for a discussion with that one. Danny?
I could discuss, but I'd get shot down, I think.
Good. So. What's your thoughts on this, Danny? You remember this?
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember it very well.
I'm going to keep this close.
In the first place, I think we ought to set them all the same.
Okay.
I think that we made a decision on some of them that wasn't exactly what I thought was, but it was passed with BOE, and I didn't think was exactly right. If 65-35 split is different than what we agreed on before, but I mean it's a lot better split than what we had on the others.
Well, French Quarter, I think that was a 97-3, something like that, or 96-4 split. Wasn't that something like that?
Yeah.
A little different scenario, but that was that when we got to splits, it was a little different than what this is. I think if I'm incorrect, the state statute really doesn't give us clear direction on this.
What the state statute does is it states that you can use apportionment if you can take it out of the disqualified as not residential category, which means if it's not used, if it's not available primarily for transient rental, then it is not disqualified and you can apportion. However, if it is available primarily for transient rental, then it is disqualified and you can't apportion it. So Russ's argument that these will not be available for more than 180 days or more than 120, arguably takes it out of the disqualified area and into an area where you can apportion.
Okay, so that's an argument.
Depending upon how you define available.
And one would say, well, on 100, it was available rented the first 120 days and it's out.
But here's my argument on that, Jim. If that thing is, if there is a convention or if there is something big comes to town, it's going to be available more than 120 nights.
They're saying it's not. They're saying it will not. And if otherwise, if it changes, they're going to come back to us. That's what they're saying. Oh, that's what they said. But yes, I understand what you're saying. I would think that they'd rent it and come back and say, I'll pay my extra taxes.
Yeah, how many people do that?
Yeah, we have lined up saying that we didn't tax you enough. But you're right, Danny. I understand your point completely. We didn't have a BOE number for it. This is the one.
What's this going to do with the other splits that we have?
You heard this on the very first day.
We've got to set something and try to stick with it.
The thing I wanted cleared up in this, some of this, is primary use. And I think we've all missed the boat on primary use. And I think Kelly can see it easy as anyone. if you finance a condo, the primary use of it to pay that condo off would be a commercial venture. It wouldn't be the residential portion of it. You would make your payments based on how many times you could rent that property out, and that would be commercial use. We had a market established over the last 7 or 8 years on commercial nightly rental condos versus residential condos. This wasn't established. That's what I have so hard a time trying to separate out when I go into areas such as Point Royales and different ones on who's buying these properties for residential use and who is fixing them. If you look at the Oakmont analogy in here today, you can see that those houses that were sold for nightly rental use was bringing $275,000, and they were promised some of their financing back to put them in that nightly rental program. It's right here on this one.
But James, if you buy it with the intent never to live there and lease it out for more than 30 days at a time, say a 1 year lease to people, it's 100% residential, correct? Even though you never intend to live there.
That's correct. But is the primary use to make the mortgage payments? The primary use, I believe, on nightly rentals, as I've read stuff here, we hear the argument primary use is 180 whatever days that you live in it as a residence. No, the primary use of the property, bottom line, is always to pay the mortgage off.
They say the use is by whether it's predominantly or primarily available, and if it is for transient rental, then it's disqualified from being residential.
I'm going to go ahead and make a jab.
Okay.
I'm going to move that we change valuations on these specific parcels, 50% residential, 50% commercial, based off availability.
Just Cook's?
On just the list submitted here.
By Cook?
By Russ Cook.
Okay.
What was your percentage?
50-50.
He was proposing 60-40 or what?
75. Well,
actually, I think they said 70-30 in the meeting with James.
70 residential, 30 commercial is what their suggestion was.
But you're saying 50-50.
Well, 65-35 didn't pass, so I'll come down to 50-50. I didn't even get a second on that one.
Hold on. I'm mulling it over.
I still don't know what properties we're talking about. Do we have a BOE number?
We do not have a BOE number.
Well, how did we ever discuss it in BOE if we didn't have a number?
We have attachments here.
I thought there was BOE numbers.
Well, I didn't see.
I thought I saw it. I asked
for that BOE number here, and I can't find it here. Hold on.
That first day, wasn't it?
Yeah.
There was never a BOE number.
The very last one.
Thank you. Russ Cook, Classification Appeals. Thank you.
Okay.
I'll second the motion on the 50-50.
We have a second. We got some alive and cooking here.
Live and cooking.
Jim Stroff has made the motion, 50-50. Danny Strahan second the motion.
That's on the 120 days.
Promise.
That's on what?
Well, they're saying that they are not going to make
based
it available
upon this
past 120 days.
Okay. That's based on an agreement that it's not to be available for rental more than 120 days a year.
We found it. We just found it. Thank you. Chuck found it for us.
Just a little bit of discussion here. I was trying to talk to Bob earlier about this, some stuff I kind of written on this.
I've read your stuff since then, by the way.
You have?
Yeah.
How screwed up is it? Pretty screwed up?
They're very intelligent thoughts, and it's logically thought out. I just don't necessarily agree with all of it.
How is that for painting a picture, Chuck?
No, that's fine. The main thing in it, the last sentence of the Dominion case suggests that the court's going to reject the idea of someone being able to arbitrarily say what is and isn't available. So I think there's a lot of thinking that needs to be done in this. If we say 50-50, they're going to go appeal it to the State Tax Commission, but you don't think so?
No.
They'll go for the 50-50.
Okay. It's hard to say.
Well, I was going to say, if they take it to the State Tax Commission, James is going to have to have some real clear thinking on how to defend some sort of a number against their whatever it is they're going to propose. But a 50-50 disposes of it, that sounds
pretty. When did you make a 65-35? That
was
today.
No, that was last time. That was.
They offered that.
They offered 70-30, and I went 65-35. I think that was last Friday, I believe, when it was just down to four members. Danny was out.
And they said when they were here that they would, when you said that, they said they would entertain that.
Okay. Well, I'm just, what I'm saying
so
is.
We're taking the 50-50 and shoving it down the throats, basically.
Basically, right, because I couldn't get a 65-35 second, so I'm saying that's less.
I was.
More palatable, possibly, for everyone, so.
Okay, you have a second on the 50-50?
By Danny. Yeah. Chuck, you have any discussion?
I'd rather you drop that motion and go back to where you were before.
65 residential and 35 commercial?
Yeah.
What's the rationale on the 50-50 even split?
Availability. I mean, basically, I think there's some case law saying that it can't be available for rent beyond 180 days. Is that right? Is 180 days referenced in there somewhere?
Right. And if you went beyond 50-50 the other way, then it'd be primarily used, never mind available, for commercial, and
correct.
You couldn't do it.
So
there'd be no justification.
Just to make sure, why don't we call it 51-49?
To be sure, that's not a bad idea.
All right, let me modify my motion. Danny, you may want a second. 51.
Or you can withdraw yours, and I can make that as the motion. Or whichever. You can modify your motion.
There's a little concern about the legalities of
50-50.
It should be 51 residential, 49 commercial, because of the way the statute's written. So.
Or you can make it 50% plus $1 or something.
I'll do
51-49
or
55. All right, let me withdraw the motion completely. I'm withdrawing the motion. Danny, you're going to withdraw yours?
I'll withdraw my
second. Okay, we're back at a clean slate.
Okay. Can you explain your 65-35 when Dave gets through?
120 divided by. Stepped out for a minute when you were talking. What are they saying that they rent them for?
120 days maximum a year.
So that would be?
Basically 65-35.
About a third.
Yeah, that's where I came with my number. My thing is,
and
this.
Do we have anything that shows that that's all they rent them for?
They're
available for, because the statement in that Dominion case says available. And
what is available is the debatable item. Well, available.
And I think it's debatable as to whether they can define what they think is available.
Correct.
The Dominion case kind of suggests that a property of a certain nature is intrinsically available by its physical nature. I mean, a motel is a motel, and it's available regardless of whether you say it's available.
And it depends on your definition of available.
Right. I mean, that's what it comes down to.
Present or ready or ready for immediate use, suitable or ready for use. I mean, my home could be suitable and ready for use as a transient rental.
And there are there's million-dollar lake houses that are rented weekly and monthly out there.
I believe
there's obviously a whole lot of word parsing that needs to be done by someone other than us.
That's correct.
And if that's what we're going to do, then we need to take all of these cases, deny them all, make them commercial, and make them appeal to the state tax commission, or do what we're doing. We need to treat people similarly situated the same way, I believe.
Yeah. Well, I know what they're saying is that they're saying that we don't have enough customers to rent this more than this amount, so therefore we feel that it should be that. There, you know, if there was 100,000 people came into town some weekend, they'd rent every one of them they had.
Well, the reason this is a little different is that they have a management company managing these properties. So that's the difference, where they can monitor not to exceed 120. That makes
available, not just used, available.
No.
Which I would take to mean
you pick
being
a
offered for rental on
correct.
That day.
Correct.
Although, as Kelly has said, available could mean my home.
Yeah. Under the strict reading of Dominion, almost anything's available for nightly rental, and I don't think that's what the court intended. But it gives us latitude to actually make everything commercial that we wanted to.
Jim.
Yes, sir.
The 65-35 was their offer, wasn't it?
Well, basically, they're saying, they said 120 days is what they said.
I know, but, I mean,
they really didn't make an offer. They just said it's available no more than 120, and we came up with a number.
Now, look, they didn't.
Are you going to vote in the next minute and a half?
I hope so, Kelly.
I'll be right back.
Yes, we are, so you better hurry. Go ahead.
I make a motion to go 55 residential, 45 commercial.
We have a motion by. Cindy, you write that down? Motion.
I'll second that.
Motion by Dave Oliphant for 55-45. Hold on. 55 residential, 45 commercial, and we have a second by Danny Strahan. Discussion, Kelly.
Call for the question.
Call for the question. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed.
Opposed.
You want for your 65-30?
Aye. Motion carries 4-1.
Recommendation, sir.
Sir.
Withdraw your motions on timeshares and make them the same.
The
POE decision we had this year of the 498, whatever. Yeah.
So he can't make the motion for reconsider, but he can make that suggestion. The motion passed, so that motion's done. We are talking about, and I'll just tell you which one it was. The one that Walden brought in. I have it right here.
I think that's fair.
BOEs 020 through 057.
But I can't vote on it because I was the only long voter against it.
Okay, right. The Festiva Resorts is the first one. Let me make sure this is right here. Yes, it was the Festiva Result. Festiva Resorts. I'm going to make a motion to reconsider BOEs.
What did we do on that one?
We went 97.3.
Based on actuals.
Not motion to reconsider BOE number 070020 through 057. Anybody can second that motion. You can second that
motion. I can second it. Okay, I'll second it.
Second by Danny to reconsider. All those in favor of reconsider say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, so 4-0, one abstention from Kelly, who is absent right now. So, we have now put that one back on the table. I know that everyone's excited about that. We've actually gained nothing from the total BOEs, but...
Now, was this the one where they said that they had written deals from the owners?
Okay. No. So...
What did we do on that one?
You just did it, 55-45, where they were going to get written...
170 something days.
Yeah,
it's 170
something.
That's more than
120.
You got close. You got close.
All right, I'm gonna move that we change valuations on BOE number 0020 through 0057 to 55% residential, 45% commercial, as we've done with the other.
Second
by Dave Oliphant. Okay.
We had strong enough evidence that we voted now or voted.
Well, we're moving it, I think, from just the discussion is to create a standard.
We were going to create a standard, and I've already said before,
James, Bob?
The reason the numbers were set there, we were given the actual rentals. It wasn't availability. It was
if we're looking for a standard.
Right.
Then I would argue that we ought to look, and I've said this before, what you did originally, and that was 70, right?
Right.
Before the
I understand,
court case that made such a mess out of everything, I think you had, it was not absolutely fair to everybody. Some had advantage of it, and some had a disadvantage, but... To go 55-45, I think you're getting farther away from
question
being a more
when you get a
okay. Kelly?
Where was Carrie Walden before we moved her to 70?
97.3.
Where was she before?
100%.
100% commercial.
Okay.
So, transient housing.
So she should still be thrilled with.
I doubt that.
No.
She's going to squall like a mashed cat.
Kelly Trimble's an acronym there.
She should be thrilled that she got the 55%, but she's going to be upset that she just lost.
I'm not going to make any assumptions on how Carrie Walden is going to feel about us changing her valuations for her clients. All right.
Did we do a 70-30 at one point across the board?
That's originally what everything was.
And they got overruled. That's pretty cool.
Dave, the question was, we did a 70-30, starting this process out. Timeshares was 100% commercial. Then whenever Dominion became so popular, the attorneys started piling in, seeing different interpretations, and that's when the 70-30 and our ratio went to kingdom come, and that's when it all changed.
That forces them to the State Tax Commission to make this mess and makes them make the decision.
All right, I'm going to call the question. All those in favor of valuations 55-45 being residential, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. We have a nay over here.
Well, three, it passes. So I can go ahead and say nay.
Motion passes 3-2. Kelly and Chuck opposed. All right.
Can you explain the motion again?
Yeah, we changed the valuation to 55% residential, 45% commercial.
On Walden property?
On those Walden properties, Festiva Resorts, over by the Celebration City.
But the thought is we're going to change everything?
That's
the ones that appealed this year. In 11, I'm changing everything.
To 55-45?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Unless we come up with some better thinking on how to do that.
Or legislation. Either one.
Unless legislation or BOE, or if they take
that's
these
the only way
BOE
we can do it.
BOE. Legislation is what happens. So, all right, that motion carries, and we're going to move on.
What did we do with Acres? Or is it one to be decided?
We still got a pile here. I'm still getting there right now, sir. Hey, one thing I wanted to bring up wanted to make sure, in the discussions with the airport, Branson Land admitted they had a fuel farm, car wash, a parking lot, and the control tower that they should be taxed on. Can we run those on? Can we direct you to run those on?
Yeah, I'll make a motion.
All right. I'll move that we direct the assessor to add the fuel farm, the car wash, the parking lot, and the control tower that is located on the Branson land to be put on their appropriate assessment documents.
Second.
Second by Danny. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. Motion carries.
And the land also.
I'll just have to do it because I've tried to assign Tim to the math on that, and I'm still confused whether we're going to be able to get that.
Well, I saw the parcel. It is segmented. There is a parcel.
They've said land also, so, yeah.
The land's there. I mean, the parcel's there. We just got, like, the control tower just needs to move from one parcel to the other. It's actually valued at $58,170.
I think they've got a bill on even the 500 acres way, he told me.
No, they do. It's broken down into a bunch of small parcels. 22 here, 6 here, 13 here. On this...
I know it is on this, but from what I understood from him the day that I went out and talked to him, they didn't get a tax bill on anything for Branson Land.
Possibly didn't in 09. There is a possibility. Shouldn't it all be one parcel? That was a mapping situation of whether it should or should not be.
I think it should be one parcel, and that way
it's not adjoining.
We can't. And it cross sections.
It's not adjoining.
Or cross section lines.
Yeah.
So we had a mapper tried to put it all in one parcel, crossing section lines, so the identification marks got messed up.
Thank you. Cindy, do you need clarification?
Part of it's on one side of the airport and part of it's on the other. It's not adjoining.
Okay. Hold on, guys.
Do you have a piece of paper that showed all those different things that you wanted added on?
Yes, right here.
Okay.
And I'll have to send guys out because we don't have nothing for the fuel.
Keep in mind, those people are going to have a right to
appeal.
Appeal.
Well, they've mentioned that they were expecting that, and they actually asked for it. So.
Okay, so that's on the Branson
Land LLC.
That's a completely different thing.
We have not right now. The only thing I will have to move on it is the control tower. It is on the Branson Airport LLC, and we need to take it off of that and put it onto the land.
Well, so is the other.
No, nothing else is assessed. The parking lot, the car wash, the fuel farm did not get picked up at all.
Well, the land is picked up on...
We'll have to look at the records because it may be somewhere, Jim.
Yes.
I looked at all the parcels around. I pulled up all...
Yeah, but you got across the section line and into a totally different map.
Okay, well, I won't...
But he's got the airport where the... on what I looked at on Beacon.
Uh-huh.
He's got the... Where the car wash and some of that is under, if you look at it, it's under Branson Airport. It's not under Branson land.
It wasn't even the air. Car wash is not even under the land, under the airport.
The parcel where it's sitting is under airport.
I couldn't even find the car wash.
I will correct those and bring them.
Well, just make the changes and then they'll have a chance to appeal.
The last day, Friday.
Nobody, they're done, ain't thought they just did it.
DOE is Friday.
I'm kind of lagging behind.
Okay, I'm going to jump on one other thing is, just so I can, before we get to the new stuff here, I want to get all the things we've talked about, which was last Friday there was a, you had talked to about making a motion to reconsider about the hotels. Are you still going to do that?
My thinking was there were only three of us here voting, and I was kind of reluctant to do that, but I was wanting to move shit around and get it going. And yet, sorry.
Where's that beeper?
Beep.
Go ahead.
But the magnitude of what we did was fairly big, and I didn't want to freeze the two guys that were not here out. I'd really rather that be more of a consensus decision by the board. So I would move to reconsider.
All right, motion
301. I think it's the Howard Johnson, the Days Inn, and I don't remember what else.
Second,
Jasper Enterprise.
Okay, motion to reconsider by Kelly Trimble on BOE numbers 0303. Is that right, Jasper?
These are the Jasper properties, I think.
Two on the Days Inn, one on the Howard Johnson's.
Okay, I'm sorry.
And I'm going to have to go by memory.
Okay, it's BOE number 0303, BOE number 0290, and BOE number 0302. They're all Jasper properties.
Red Roof Inn, Howard Johnson, remember?
Oh, the Red Roof Inn, too.
And the Days Inn.
Okay. Yeah, but the properties were under the Jasper.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's the three numbers.
Right. So we have a motion and a second.
Discussion?
Yes, sir.
I look at 60012. We voted on 723, same day we did the other.
Right.
I think it's the Royal or whatever.
Royal.
There was four of us here then. Mr. Schroff is voting for it.
You know, I saw that too, and I just pulled it up.
And so we're going to go back and we're going to draw.
Well, actually,
was the Royal based on an income approach to value that you set the value would be my suggestion.
Actually, to argue here just a little bit, shall we go ahead, go back to Branson Hills development? We dropped a bunch of land values there from $3,500 to $530. I mean, and the reason I'm bringing this up is I don't understand what's reassessment and what's not. I mean, these land values look like reassessment to me.
Well, they were put on, it's a simple explanation, they were put on as lot values, not green space, and it would brought to our attention that these were green space and gullies that they couldn't use.
03.
I'll leave my discussion at that. Thank you.
All right. All those in favor, this is for the reconsider, say aye.
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 No.
We have a no.
No.
We have a 3-2. Danny, Jim, Kelly saying aye. Chuck and Dave all have been saying no. So we have now added back to our list BOE numbers. Let's go ahead and go to
301.
BOE number 03. Is it 301? Yeah, 0301.
301 was not added in your motion to reconsider.
That's correct. It was not.
Well, I think it was
that's the one where you combine the restaurant and the Days Inn.
Yeah, that it was intended to be part of the.
Okay, hold on. All right, where is 301?
First page or second page?
Trimble moved to reduce the combined.
Okay, I did say the wrong number. Damn, Jones. Hold on. One second, Cindy.
Okay. I know their numbers are 290 and 301, 302, and 303 for Jasper. Those are the four parcels.
Okay, we didn't include 301. We just said 290, 302, and 303. Mm-hmm. So we need another motion.
I'll amend the motion.
Well, you can't. You got a new motion.
New motion.
Blah blah blah. Yeah. Motion from Kelly Trimble to reconsider BOE number 0301.
Second.
Second by Danny Strahan. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries 4-1. You voted to reconsider.
I didn't vote.
I'm sorry.
I voted no a while ago, so I guess I'll vote no on that.
Sorry, 3-2. Okay. So we have four BOE numbers. Let's go to BOE number 0301. Let's call for a 3-minute recess, and then we'll reconvene at 15 till. 3 minutes. Because I got to walk out. So.
Okay.
Recess.
They're all on one sheet here.
I'll just be careful not to say anything too obnoxious. Sorry.
Who's going to make the guess? Are we an hour or 3 hours? Or?
Well, if we keep bringing everything back up, I guess we'll be here in the morning.
Keep bringing
still.
Them all back up, we'll never get
there. I'm going to make a motion to call for the question pretty quick.
But maybe
nice,
I don't know what you did on it, so I mean, we're going to have to go.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go by memory on some of those.
I mean, you made a decision. You made it.
We shouldn't have to go back. I agree.
Amen.
Especially since we have it all done in both programs and it's all inbound.
And they've been notified by mail already.
Yeah.
They have been notified? Oh, yeah.
Everybody has been.
Has Carrie Walden been notified?
Mm-hmm. She will be.
No, she already has
already
been.
Has been.
We revisited it, changed it. She's already been sent a letter. Now she's going to be sent another.
Mm-hmm.
We've stayed up to date with you guys. Now this is going to throw us way off.
Well, I don't, I mean.
But it's your deal. But
this is going to get into another hour-long discussion on this because Danny and I, neither one, knows anything about this, so we're going to have to revisit everything about it. We're just going to take it out. We've got even more problems. Carrie Walden and this has already been notified by mail, so we're going to have to turn around and send another letter.
Right. We'll call the meeting back to order. And let me call the meeting back to order. Let me kind of recap a few things, guys, and if it's impossible, then we just need to stop here. We've got four BOE cases that we've just reconsidered. We have two more, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. We have 16 cases yet to decide on. Is that something realistically that we can actually do tonight, or do we just need to say we need to use Thursday or Friday since...
Well, if we do that, does that give us our Friday back?
Since you all have tomorrow free, basically, now that other one got canceled.
Correct.
Why don't we do it tomorrow?
We don't have tomorrow free. In fact, we have this room reserved.
The clerk's office has election training for the judges. Is that right? For judges, and they've got the whole room booked and committed that we can and use this facility on Thursday.
We need to be in here at 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock?
We have to be in here by 4 o'clock to start setting up.
Well, that leaves the whole morning.
Well, but what's your availability?
Now, let me make
7 o'clock in the morning.
We can be in here at 4 o'clock, but we have work to do to prepare to come in.
But let me ask you this. If we started at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning and got done by noon, would that give you enough time to prepare the room?
Yes.
Commissioners?
We'll be done before then.
I mean, we could start at 8, or we can start at 9, we can start at
7.
Yeah, but we can be done with.
Well, and I mean, you got to be realistic. We got 16 cases to hear. We're talking multiple hours here, because this next four, we're gonna have to rehash all the.
I don't want to. I'll just blaze through those, either they're gonna vote for it or not. So,
can I get some feedback? You're saying come tomorrow.
That's my preference.
Okay, Chuck, what are you thinking?
Doesn't matter.
Kelly?
I don't see us getting 16 things plus these four done tomorrow. I think we need to go as far as we can tonight and then try for tomorrow.
Okay. Well, there's 4 plus 2 plus there's 9.
Okay. Oh, sorry.
There's a total
like
of 16.
Those two?
Yeah.
So we need two signs because they're on another parcel. Yeah.
All right. Oh, I'm just asking you guys. I mean, I don't mind going as long as we need to go if I can get my Thursday back.
But I don't think you'll... I don't know.
All right, we're going to continue on. We're just going to keep on pushing. Back to...
We'll do those two.
Let's do the easy ones. James, go ahead and just speak. You're taking
those two signs were, have been on the wrong parcel for years.
Okay.
And we discovered it here, and we have, they've been paying on the other parcel. But we, so now we want to delete these two numbers because these two billboards are being...
Double tax.
Double tax. But you added them to another one.
They've been paying on the other one.
They've been paying on the other. Just okay. Around the curve. It's at Shorty Smalls.
Motion.
Going up 165.
This motion by really. Motion by Danny to delete these parcels. Second by Dave Elephant.
Aye.
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 Motion carries 5-0. Here's the parcel.
So it's going to take 16 minutes to go through 16 parcels.
Don't tempt me like
there's
that.
There's an easy one in there that's Cook, and it's it was part of that same Russell Cook one. So really, you could just make the motion, the same motion you made for all of Russell Cooks on that one.
We have a motion by Kelly Trimble to move it to 55 residential, 45 commercial. Second?
Second.
Second by Dave Elephant. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
That's okay. BOE number, right, BOE number 0019. Opposed is Chuck.
Being consistent.
Motion carries 4-1.
Next item.
All right.
Shazam.
Bob, make me, when a motion is tied 2-2, is that a denial? Is that a, does it need action need to be taken?
It doesn't pass.
So it's a deny then? Is that an automatic denial?
If the complainant has asked for a remedy and you're not giving it to them, and you're not giving it to them when you tie, then it's denied unless you take some other action.
Well, that sounds like no action. We're required.
That's past them, so it's still so it's no action.
That's no action.
Yeah, but if there's no action, they don't get the relief that they want.
Right.
Okay, so but I mean, are we required to actually make an action or do an denial? I was under the impression we had to deny or act on everything.
Not act on something.
Can we just decide someone brings something to us and we can just
we have
decide
a full,
not to do it?
The problem is I was gone that day, so now I'm the odd man, so we can, you want to bring it back up?
I mean, you can bring it back up if you want and,
okay.
And vote on it. You don't have to leave it at the 2-2, do a motion to reconsider now that you have five people and just reconsider it and see if you can.
Well, there's no motion. You said there was no action because it was a tie vote, so there isn't even a motion to reconsider.
We already have a value. We're not voting to decrease or increase that value. So if nothing passes, it's a go. It stays the same.
If you want to deem it denied because it didn't pass.
That's what we've done ever since I've been here.
Okay, then there's three of them right there that are ties, Cindy, that are off the list because there was a tie vote.
What we've done the 6 years I've been here.
So it's all three the same person?
I thought if it was a tie, we still have to have a decision. We still have to
make
a decision.
You got two, no action. You can't change.
You'll get into the same thing if you get somebody abstaining consistently with five men
exactly.
Board.
Exactly.
So when you get put 2-2 and abstain, yeah. What have you done?
I think
we've always come back.
I never have. Never have come back. I've always denied. It's always been.
You could say that the appeal failed.
Hold on.
Bring it back.
You could say that the appeal failed. I mean, they appealed and they didn't get a positive vote for their appeal, so it failed.
This is
Table Rock Estates.
I only remember one.
Westgate and Westgate.
Well, the Westgates, I'd like to try to reconsider the Table Rock investments.
Were those all into the same person doing them?
No. Yeah.
And if it failed, you can reconsider.
Well, one at a time. What?
And if it failed, you can reconsider.
Westgate is Eric Roberts. Table Rock is Dan Root.
All right. I'm leaning toward what Chuck is. I still think there needs to be a vote.
Make a motion to
reconsider.
Reconsider the ones that were tied up.
Okay, Chuck Pinnell made a motion. Guys, Chuck made a motion to reconsider BOE number 008, 009, 0046. I'll second that. Okay?
Aye.
All those in favor of reconsider say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
Aye, I guess.
4-1, Danny saying nay.
I only remember one case being a tie.
Okay, well, yeah, we got three
there
right here.
I think there was one Dan Ruta thing that was a tie.
There was, that's right. Okay, who wants to recap the Westgate real fast?
What's the number?
That is
BOE number 008. This was Westgate presented by Eric Roberts. It was on a valuation of a purchase price of $60,225. Shows
well, it was like $80,000 or $90,000 on the that two parcels denied. That he put together.
Because it was a purchase in this year.
Yeah. And, well, but,
yes, sir.
Well, he was pushing for like a $9,000 or $10,000 valuation. Right. I think I moved.
That's a property up on Fall Creek next to East Ray's old house.
Yes, I'm sorry. 6008. Sorry about that, sir.
What did I move? Did I move for a $25,000 value per acre value?
You, Kelly Trimble, moved for a $25,000 per acre price and set the land value at a total of $162,500. Chuck Pennell seconded the motion. It was two ayes over here and two nays over here.
And I was quoting sales. I don't remember which ones they were.
Up and down Fall Creek.
Well, there are some on Fall Creek. Highest and best use of that is multifamily. There are multifamily sales all over town. And
I make a motion for denial.
On BOE 60008, motion to deny.
I think I'd already moved for my original motion.
No, did you?
I thought I did, but I may not have.
Did you have that, Cindy? Okay.
So we were wanting to take this from $353,000 down to $60,000?
$162,500.
Which is double what he was looking for. So,
there is a total acreage of... there's a bunch of lots. There's four lots. Calculated acres is 6.5 calculated acres.
I think he has it on at $1.25 a square foot or something like that.
You thought it ought to go on 75?
I thought it should go on at
25 an acre.
25 an acre. Or
what was his year 60 purchase?
60 some odd cents a square foot.
His year purchase is May of this year.
That's but right. And I thought we denied that too.
But he purchased it at like $80,000 or about $9,000.
Are there any legal issues left?
What?
Are there any legal issues left?
Oh, yeah.
Pick up my son.
Okay. Oh, no. No, there's not. Just call in if we need you. Just be close to your cell phone.
I'll have my cell phone with me.
Okay. You made this mess. You don't have to stay through it.
I made what mess?
Tell him.
Am I the assessor?
I'm going to second the motion to deny.
Call for the question.
All right. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Nay.
Aye. Motion carries 3-2. Decision was made.
Okay. The Dan Ruta one?
Oh, let's go to 60009. Same property owner, same rationale by Mr. Trimble.
Oh, that was the motion on just one of them. Then.
That's correct.
Okay. I'll let Dan make his
motion to deny.
Danny Strahan, motion to deny 60009 by Danny Strahan, second by Jim Strafis.
Call for the question.
Here, no more discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
Nay.
Motion carries 3-2. Table Rock Investments, BOE number 60046.
Is this on the house?
This is... on
real estate office on 248.
Real estate office on 248.
My original motion was to move that down to
$25,000 an acre.
No.
$25,000.
$25,000 for the improvement, leaving the land where it's at.
Okay. I went by there and looked at that, and I couldn't see that the steepness was anywhere close to.
Was anywhere worse than anything else out there?
Well, no, absolutely not. It wasn't anywhere worse. I went and drove and looked at it on purpose after we had that discussion.
That building's got to be worth more than $25,000
in my opinion. No, apartments in.
I really don't think the building's worth very much at all. I think the building's worth about $25,000, but I think James is well on his land. So,
all right.
I'm not as quite as. For reasons not really elaborated here, I'm not really as thrilled about the idea of making that motion again, so I'll let Manny make his motion.
I made a motion to deny on the first time, so.
Motion to deny on BOE 60046 by Danny Strahan.
Second.
Second by Dave Oliphant. Any more discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Hey.
Motion carries 4-1.
I was doing that twice.
Yep. All right. We're going to go on to Golden. Let me see if there's Fall Creek Properties. Please go to BOE number 60041.
Are we still on the ones that we tied on?
No, these are now, we have made no decision. We're done with the tied ones. So we're now time to make a decision.
Who is that? What is it?
Fall Creek Property.
This is the this is the Fall Creek Bed and Breakfast that is owned by the Kung Fu Theater. Bob Paulson did tell me that he believes, based off law, it's a residential property, and he was fine from a legal perspective of moving it to a classification of all residential. This is where they've got all their employees staying there. It's long term.
Doyle?
What?
The old Doyle property?
Yeah.
Bob
yep.
Doyle
yeah.
property.
Yeah. At the far end of Fall Creek Road.
We've got it about 70 residential, 30 commercial right now, roughly, I guess.
That's when he put up his apartment sign. The reason that's that away, he put up an apartment sign and had part of that rented out for the month, and part of it was his bed and breakfast. And that's the reason the split.
Well, that's the portion. Yeah. Do you think that's a reasonable portion?
Okay, hold on here. Well, Cindy, would you come over
before.
Here a second?
That's before.
Now,
that's
a new owner has it, and he uses it to house employees at his theater.
Does that mean it's just tabled?
Yeah.
Okay, it wasn't a vote. Okay.
That is a commercial venture, though. I mean,
I think it's residential.
I'm going to move that we change classification on BOE number 60041 to 100% residential.
We denied them on their theater, right?
Is that what they were asking for?
They were asking for...
It looks like a valuation change is what they were asking for.
I think on the bed and breakfast, I don't think it was it?
No.
I can't remember that.
They're arguing value.
Paid $500,000 for it.
Paid $500,000 on...
But it's on the books for five...
March of 2010. And we've got it on at... we got it on at 7 something, yeah.
See, I was going to deny the valuation based off the market, but I was going to change the classification because the use has changed.
I believe you can do that, but I don't believe you can change the valuation.
That's why I went with my motion to change classification because the use has changed, but the value, I'm not touching the value.
You're
and I've written on it.
11, but you've judged many cases just like what we're telling
right.
you. The old 10
so that's why I made my motion is the use has changed, not the value.
Okay, how are we making the motion?
Motion to change classification to 100% residential, but don't change the value. That was my motion.
Anybody going to second that? I am.
Second by Danny Strahan.
This is change classification, no change in value.
Correct.
Aye.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 5-0. Moving on. I almost pulled a muscle there. Let's go to... Gosh, this is going to get a little more... I'm avoiding the hard ones, but we're going to jump in there. All right. We're going to go to BOE number 60003. Moriichi, Paul and Paula, trustees. We had three motions, four motions, five motions. We've had five motions all different.
All different.
And never passed.
Never passed.
No, I'm sorry.
No, they all died.
I'm sorry, all died for lack of second.
I think I made a bunch of those, and I don't remember what they were.
Okay, so basically what we're doing is DS had to abstain. Is that because DS was gone? Probably?
Yeah.
And refresh my memory.
Don't have me.
This is the property on Fall Creek that is
the
mini storage units.
To it. And I think did I move? $1.25 for one?
Well, I can't tell you that, but I can tell you that the prices were to reduce the land value to $174,240.
On one. And
then one time, that was three times you made that motion.
Yeah.
And then... Very persistent, aren't you? Then you made a motion also to change the land value to $108,464, and that died for a lack of second.
That must be on a different parcel.
There are two parcels.
Parcels there.
Yeah.
And then the last motion was Kelly Trimble reduced the land value to $108,464. JS seconded the motion based on the assessor's statement.
I recommended it.
Right? And it was... Kelly and Jim, yes. Dave and Chuck, no. And that is strictly, we're talking about this, just BOE 60003.
Yeah, the other one was voted on.
Right.
So you have to make a motion. So whoever was on the prevailing side.
There wasn't a prevailing side. It was died for. It was a tie, 2-2, and you were absent.
I know, but I mean, are we going
to
settle ties?
Oh, okay, yeah. Motion to reconsider. Oh, I was on the prevailing side.
We don't have to do any reconsidering, I don't think.
Well, let's go ahead and put it in there because that's consistent. Motion to reconsider BOE 60003 by Jim Strafas.
Second.
Second by Danny Strahan. All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries 5-0.
That's just strictly to get through this. I mean, we got to be going here.
Okay. Now, the assessor made the recommendation to change land values to 108,464. I will make that motion.
Well, we've got two properties here now.
That's on just the one.
BOE's.
Well, right here, it's on BOE. What you're talking about is $317,000 on land.
Correct.
And now here is 185 on land.
Okay, it is strictly, I'm sorry, your good point. We are only changing the land value
from the 3 something down to the 186.
I thought it was 185 down to 185.
No, it was the 185 down to that, because I think it was
185 is going down, just the 185,000, that's the BOE number.
And their testimony is good. They got a sewer line right down through the center.
Yeah, there's easements that eat up the usage. We didn't use one BOE number.
We had two BOE numbers, number 3 and number 4. Number 4 was voted on, so number 3 is left.
Number 3, and that's just the land of the 185. So we're changing, the motion is to change the value
from
$185,785 to a total of $108,464.
Which is 75 cents a square foot from a dollar.
What does it? That doesn't matter. Do I have a second?
Yes.
Second by Kelly Trimble.
We voted on the land only.
The land only parcel, Chuck. We voted on the other one already.
We did.
I think it's still too high.
You brought it back up for discussion by BOE number.
No, you're looking at two BOE numbers.
I know.
The 6003 is the land only one.
That's what I'm looking at, 6003 and 6004.
And we're only talking about 6003.
Well, the first one to come up is the, here on here, if they've got it in numerical order,
which
is the storage units.
BOE over there, Cindy is saying 6004 was set.
It was already done.
Is that the storage units?
It says six storage buildings, that's the.
What value?
I'd have to look back and see what that was. I don't.
Okay, hold on.
Well, at this point, when we bring up two of them under one number, the first one is the first number and the second is the second number. Mm-hmm. So
that's true traditionally. So the motion would be then to reduce it down to, can you see the map of that, Donna? The map will tell us if there's an easement through there or not.
Well,
yeah, that has the easement through it.
It's the next one to the south of that.
It's the next east end.
Yeah.
There you go.
It has the creek, and the sewer goes kind of through.
See
the
that
creek.
Sewer right down the.
Okay,
center.
So we got to make sure it's the right BOE number. I was going off this document saying 6003. That's why I made that.
So what number are we?
Well, that's what Cindy's looking at right now.
And what did we do on the other one?
Okay. There's your parcel number on that one that's below. Ooh.
What is the parcel number?
That's the one on the property that you said was below.
Property number would be 2.000.
Yes, ma'am. Let's
2.000. That's what I got. 3 and 4 have not been voted on.
3 and 4.
Pardon me, I didn't have that.
All right, 3 and 4. Okay, and
okay, I didn't think. I mean,
okay,
before I make the motion to reconsider.
Okay.
BOE 60004.
That's the vacant
second,
land, right?
That's the vacant land. Second by Chuck. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All right, they're back up for reconsideration. So, I believe, then it goes back to the land valuation of...
So, didn't we have a motion to lower the land value on 60004 down to 108,464?
Let me look at the other... See, I'm looking at... one document, and does that cover both?
The one application covers both.
But no, the 108, it's not the same amount of acreage on both. So I can't set the land value at the same. It's got to be a per square foot or...
We're talking about just the vacant land that's down south of that piece right there.
Okay.
Time out. We haven't made a motion on either one of those.
I know.
Okay, so you're...
But the 108 is what we're talking about, and there's a motion on the floor at 108.
There was never a second on that motion.
I seconded it.
I thought there was.
I did.
Yeah, it's done. The vacant land down below, you just said. Now you're moving.
No, we haven't voted.
We haven't voted on it.
You haven't voted.
We have a motion and a second.
But yeah. I'm sorry. The Roberts rules that we had to take the motion off because it wasn't even up for consideration until we brought it back into consideration.
Okay, now I make the motion.
He's going to make the motion.
And I second.
Okay. The motion on BOE number 60004, change in land valuation to 108,464. All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries for BOE 60004. So look at the one with the storage buildings now. And I don't have any paperwork on that.
I don't remember what my previous motion was.
I don't have it. I don't have that sheet.
On the land and 348 on the improvements.
Okay, what was the recommendation of before?
174 on the land. The improvements stay the same.
There's a second sheet in your scan.
Okay.
Second assessor.
So you're saying he wants to go to 174?
That's what you read earlier.
Which is a dollar a square foot.
Oh,
so don't listen to this. The paperwork's not 100%.
Okay.
She didn't. I don't know if that's part of 03 or 04, so I'm not sure if the paperwork's correct.
The total appraisal 492.
It's not the right.
This that wouldn't
a,
be.
So this is this paperwork is strictly for 004. I don't have the paperwork for 003. So.
I move.
Okay, what is that square footage price?
A dollar a square foot puts it at $174,240 on that.
That is the 492, Jim. If you take that off of there.
Okay, thank you. James, right. We got it mixed here. Thank you, Cindy. It's all here. Just wasn't crystal clear for me. But it was still clear.
The total was 492. I remember that.
All right. The motion, I'll make a motion. I'll move to change BOE 60003 to reduce the land to a total of $174,240, making the total appraised value at $492,150. That's what the motion was before.
Second?
Second by Danny Strahan.
Okay, is that consistent with other properties in that area?
Yeah, that was coming up with a buck and a half. It was half of what I had it on for.
Yeah, he had it on for like two something, and their sales all over were like a dollar. So.
In 08 and 09 that $1. Supported that.
Yeah. Okay. But what about the lands joining it? Are they on at that price?
There was one around the corner we did for Dan Ruta that was at like 2.5 or 3 or something that we've moved down. I'm not sure what the recording studio's at.
No, it was different, and they argued the point, and I can't explain
why.
Yeah,
part of their argument was all the land around them was valued lower than what they were.
Okay. Well, I didn't want to lower one and all the rest of them be high and not be real consistent here. I mean, why are we lowering it if the others are up there?
Oh, no, it's not. The only one that's higher is the bank, and I had it on, and I had it as a sale at $350.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Call for the vote.
All right. All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries 5-0. Cindy, you got that?
I'll have to listen to part of that, but it's okay.
Okay, you've got that. And basically, I'll show you right here. We took this, I used the original motion here.
Okay.
The Caravelle Studio we have on at $15,000 in the first.
I read this verbatim here.
We just put them on.
Which is reduce the land to 174 to making the new appraised value at 482. And those are the last three.
Okay.
All right, we're going to move on to. Let's just go ahead and jump to a difficult one. Surrey Vacation Resort, there was no motion on it. These are BOE numbers 0017 through 0021 for Surrey Vacation. I was absent.
Not what the issue was on this. Was this commercial residential?
Store? It was commercial. David Acres.
Incorrect percentage allocation.
Incorrect percentage allocation is this is talking about the splits of commercial residential.
I make a motion that we stay consistent.
That's my thinking.
All right, so we have a motion, Cindy.
What was he asking for? Do we remember?
I have it here.
946.
Okay, we have a motion by Danny Strahan for to change the allocation to 55% residential, 45% commercial on BOE's number 0017 through and including 0021. And we had a second by
me,
Kelly okay. Trimble.
Open for discussion.
Discussion.
It's probably going to get an increase because I put it on at 2674. Well, that doesn't have anything to do with what we're doing right here.
No,
right
if
now.
You're making it consistent.
We're making it consistent. Any more discussion?
Oh, so it was 2674. He was looking for better, and we're making
698 or something.
Oh, he really is going to spoil it, isn't he?
We need somebody at the state level.
Oh, we'll have plenty, I think. We got plenty. Does everyone understand the motion on the floor?
I understand.
All right. All those in favor?
According to this right here, we're basically at about 55-45.
Yeah, it's not, but there was one of them. One of them was at 2377.
Okay. So we're just...
The first one I call up is just about right what we're setting
Are
it
we
at.
Actually going to do an increase in a non-reassessment year?
The
it's
one,
not an
the
increase
in
value.
It's classification, so we can.
But I want to stay consistent. If it's 53 to, 47, I want to stay consistent. So I'm going to go ahead and hold that.
All right.
55, 45.
All right. All those in favor? Change aye.
Aye.
Change aye. Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Opposed.
4-1. Motion carries. Don't want to get everyone too excited, but we're down to just. It looks like 5 more to go.
Hayward, you're going to get your third.
Hey, I'm going to miss last comic standing, but this is better than that with you guys here.
Appreciate that, Commissioner Strahan.
What do you think, Sunflower?
Sunflower. We're going to bring up a difficult one just to irritate James, and we'll go right to, I don't know if it's going to or not, BOE 60028. We had, it's the LFG Golden Oaks, the LLC. We requested more information from the taxpayer. Once received, bring the board for further deliberation. We did receive the documentation. Don't remember any much about it. Cindy, you want to share us a little bit?
Actually, I just scanned it in to the end of your, it would be at the end of all your other stuff that was already in there. No, that was the additional information he sent, and it has just not been looked at yet.
Okay, so the information we requested has come.
Yeah,
now we just have to
tell you what page it starts on.
James, why don't you, do you remember this situation?
I remember the situation, and I'm really concerned that we got awful close to the buyer and the seller being the same type address, same category, sell one corporation selling out to the other.
Whether that's a clean sale or not?
And whether it's a clean sale. That was my basic question, because we had deeds here in the whole nine yards, and he said something about to that nature, because I asked why Golden Oaks out of Maryland was any kin to Golden Oaks out of Nevada or something of that nature. And I'm not sure it's arm length. I'm not sure that you won't be reassessing if you go with his value. It's not a classification. It's not any of the
so it's And this is requested by, is it DELAP?
So it starts on page 11 where they gave the additional information.
I have the wrong BOE number. What's the BOE number again?
0028.
I'm sorry.
06,
I missed it by
0028.
One. Gotcha. All right. So page 11, you're saying?
Page 11 was the new information that you requested.
We've got several different tax assessments here, though, I think. Is that called? And pictures about different properties.
This was talking about market cap, I believe. They talked about, and this transaction took place at the end of 2009.
Right.
And we're not even sure if it was an arm's length transaction because it really didn't change ownership. It changed legal entities.
Then I think you'll be changed. I think you'll be reassessing the property.
As a comparable, are we talking?
We're talking about a unit that is a
motel.
It's a residential apartments.
Residential apartment.
Okay. Really only one of his comps, though, that are even remotely.
So a fiveplex is one of the comps, is what I was confused.
Well, there's a fourplex and a fiveplex and a
right.
House.
The comps really aren't.
There's only one reasonable comp, and it's a 2006 comp. There's other comps in Springfield that are available.
And I think we got down to discussion, which is the per unit price is what the discussion got down, if I'm remembering this properly. And we started making discussions about, is it $40,000 per unit versus $31,000?
I don't think per unit's what you need to look at. I think you just need to look at a gross income multiplier or cap rate and apply it to what they're showing the income to be.
Okay. How many units are there?
Gobs.
I don't see that big contract.
Gobs would equal to, I'm sorry, I have it right here.
You have 31.
Do I have?
Oh my!
Could it be 99 of them? No.
I think it sounds kind of familiar for some reason.
It's a yard. This is off Bird Road, right?
Yeah.
Right, and it wasn't a. Like you say, there was several questions actually brought up by Kelly on. Comparables and everything, and if you look
yes.
at that deed history, if you find the deeds, you're going to see that
that's it.
It's Golden Oaks out of Maryland selling to Golden Oaks.
3.7 in 09.
And you have it on the books
at
for 4.1.
We've got it on at
4.1.
It's only less than 5% different than what he paid for it.
The case I was about to make is he's got one decent comp that's a 2006 comp. That shows a cap rate of 8.2 something and a gross income multiplier of 6.45, which you apply, if you apply those to what he's showing his 2008 numbers to be, indicates a 3.8 and 3.7 value. But cap rates continued to fall through 2007 and into 2008 and didn't really start to climb until toward the end of 2008. And I really kind of think for a clean multifamily property like this, you're probably looking at a cap rate closer to 8, maybe just a little under. And you're probably looking at a gross income multiplier a little bit higher, probably about a 6.7 or 8, which if you apply those, that gets you up around $4 million or so. And he's got it out of 4.1.
And he paid 3.7 a year after the assessment.
And we question if it's an arm's length transaction.
Yeah,
to start with.
Motion to deny.
We have a motion by Danny Strahan and a second by Dave Oliphant to deny BOE number 0028. Hearing no more discussion, do I have any more discussion over on the right side of the table?
I was just going to say that you know I would kind of support moving it from 4.1 to about 4.0, but that's really. I don't see a whole lot of data to go a whole lot beyond that.
Don't worry about that. James can worry about that.
The state.
Okay.
All right, hearing no more discussion, all those in favor, say aye.
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 I'm on there anyway.
Chuck, I'm sorry. Okay, motion carries 5-0. So apologize for that.
No matter what we do, it's going there anyway.
All right, we are now back to four parcels, the bonus four. And I hate to say this to James and Cindy, but I show this is our last four.
I mean, so does this mean we're done for
this would conclude summer BOE except
so
Bernie.
I have my Friday and my Thursday.
That is what is appearing now.
I have a little minor thing to bring up.
Mr. Hayward of BP would be proud. That was last bad.
Yeah.
I've got more.
Do you have more?
I will.
By when?
I just don't want you to adjourn it. Leave it open and make conference call.
Well, we may.
This
have,
would
we'll,
be math and.
Now we'll probably have a conference call, but we won't. We'll probably just do it on a Friday by phone.
You're not done.
We're not done?
Why can't we do these tonight?
Well, we got Canicut Camp to deal with.
What's wrong with
you?
Well, okay. Well, don't let the cat out of the bag yet. We've got to keep him hooked.
Well,
go to BOE number 0301. This is the one of the ones that just was recalled. Like a
703?
Honda?
607.
I don't know. Here, it's 07, I believe. Let me go back to this motion. Jasper Properties, 070301. 07.
What's the parcel number on that one?
290301 and 303, 302,
3M, 4M. Right.
Now, what's the parcel number?
Is it all together?
No, they're all together. I made a whole...
I closed
these.
Down something here real fast, and I got to pull it back up here.
We voted on this one. You're bringing back up.
Yeah, the motion to reconsider passed. Yeah.
Danny was kind of.
Well, you wanted Danny to.
Quantities there.
Danny and Dave both wasn't here.
07, 03, 01.
Starts with 290
and goes to 303. So look for 290, Donna.
Okay, and looking at the minutes, I see that on 301, that Kelly Trimble moved to reduce the combined price of the restaurant and the Days Inn to a combined total of 6.2. Okay, which two are those? I mean, 301 is one of them, but what about...
And I think I was actually thinking lower than that. My thinking was...
I'm asking which BOE number besides 301.
We know... Okay, that wasn't... Okay, go to 290.
I'm going to 29, the first one.
Go to the first one, 290, yeah. Just hold on while we...
Oh, I remember my thing.
The restaurant and Days Inn.
The restaurant and Days Inn.
It says right on the application if you're there, which it says that Mexican restaurant name, Esplanade.
No, Elanitas.
Oh, okay.
Elanitas is like the best salsa in the whole town.
There you go. And Days Inn.
Not that I've ever eaten there, but.
I don't do Mexican.
And then we buy first name.
Know that.
Okay, that is, it looks like. That's the parcel number 040-000.
This is 18-1.0-02-01-01.
Okay, if you look up there, Donna, if you move your mouse a little bit so we can see that.
Now, are we doing the Howard Johnsons or are we doing the... Which one are we doing here?
Let's stick to a simple one. Let's do the Howard Johnsons, okay?
Okay.
That is BOE number 0301, is it not?
They're all under the same thing on here, so
I know.
Distinguish them.
Well, on the BOE application, it says what property it is. If you pull up the whole, all of them, Dave.
290.
Yeah, all right.
It actually says on the application which parcel we're talking about first. So go to the 290 parcel. And it says Howard Johnson's right there. So that's the one we're going to talk about first. Kelly, do you want to reiterate?
I don't remember what my thing was.
All right, let me remind you.
I'm trying to get it to where I can read it here.
I don't find it in the minutes.
290. I'll be right back. We'll miss you, James.
He was looking for something ridiculous. I don't remember.
All right, second to last page, midway in. The motion was Kelly Trimble moved to reduce the appraised value to $5.4 million, and Chuck Pennell seconded the motion. This is what the was the last evaluation. We have a motion by Chuck Pendles to move to change BOE number 0290 to $5.4 million. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Second by Kelly Trimble.
What was the reasoning?
Kelly, go ahead for discussion.
I'm going by memory here and looking at what they had here. All the sales all over the place kind of indicate that the days of the 3.5 and 4 times gross are pretty much behind us. We're looking at more like 3 times gross. Especially for these older motels. This is a great big giant motel that was built in an era when they thought buses were going to rule the town, and it's functionally obsolete now. Their gross income is like not very much. I don't even remember. And this 5.4 is still 3.5 times gross. I really think it's worth more like 3 times gross. But it is a flag property. It might bring a little bit of a premium or something. But and this also comes to like 13,000 a unit, which we have some sales for some of the older properties in that range. But this is a great big giant wholesale quantity of rooms.
344 units.
Can I ask?
Yes.
I'm a little lost. That's what the original motion was.
Right.
Yeah.
He's going back to it.
Yeah. We reconsidered. We're basically giving these two other guys a chance to vote on it. I think the value, if this income stuff that was telling us is right, it's not worth the 5.4.
Let me ask you the question, Kelly.
Sure.
Based off that information, is that based off January 1st of 2009, or is that You're talking about 2010.
This is 2008
data
income on the property, and okay. I'm applying the 3x gross to the 2008
okay.
reported gross income.
Okay.
If you use their what they're showing their net income.
So using that statement, so using that data of 08, yeah. that's how you came up to the 09 value.
Yeah, I mean, if you use the 3x gross income, that's like $4.5 million. You use their roughly $400,000 stuff and do a 9.5% cap rate that gets to $4.5 million. I really think it's worth like $4.5 million, but
in today's dollars. But
and I don't really remember what the reasoning was for using 5.4 instead of 4.5. But on all three of these, I think I did values that were not quite as favorable. But there's data out there to support a lower value than what the 5.4 is.
What was the first? What James got it on for?
6.8. Almost 6.9.
And I think what the difference is, James has the land on for like 3.5-ish or something, which he has a lot of stuff on for 3.5. And this is a second-tier tract that may be worth 2.5, 3, maybe 3, and he's not recognizing obsolescence in the improvements. I think it's functionally obsolete for being as big as it is. That many rooms you're not going to fill, and your income's going to be depressed.
And my only argument is like I say, we get into this expense line, and I heard Kelly use the word, if their expenses are correct. Well, they're definitely not correct. There's no questions that they're not correct. They're self-explanatory that they're that way. Because there's no reality in the amount of soda they bought to the amount of soda they sold, and it's in the calculation.
Now, I was looking at the gross income numbers as being more authoritative than a net income number.
I mean, the soda they sell, I'm still thirsty. The soda they sell is $2,700 worth, and they purchase, take it out on their $6,348 worth as expense against selling that much. I don't know what anybody's yeah.
could. Could they be giving it away?
I don't know. I've never stayed at a motel that didn't cost.
But I mean, a lot of times they do these mixers at night, and they give away appetizers. And
now, is this the one with the restaurant on it?
No.
Well, that
not this one.
No, this one doesn't have the restaurant. That could be part of. That could be part of marketing. That could be part of a lot of different things.
So,
but
the giveaway soda could be literally they gave it away because they're trying to attract.
Or it could be part.
Yeah,
of
but look at your number. Look at your number. And Jim, and you answered a question about utility. Said, oh, it could be 20% higher. Not in 08.
No.
Not in 09. Basically, that 20% higher is going to be in 010.
Correct.
Why is their utility so much higher?
Yeah, because they have a whole lot of
with less people. Rooms. With less people.
Yeah, but they have a huge facility.
I can't explain the increase.
No, nobody can explain these things to me as expenses when their amount of people. What about their services, their maid services? Why are they paying? So it don't fall at the rate of their occupancy. And it should fall. It don't fall at the same rate. So if a maid don't clean a room, why would your expense line not fall at the same rate of your occupancy? That's an easy double check.
Well, and here's my complaint. It doesn't necessarily have to match one for one.
No, it don't have to match one for one. It don't have to match one for one, I agree.
Did they go off of the Jamaican maid program at some point?
And there's another question that really not going to pertain to this year, but we'll be watching. I'll be watching with Hawkeye next year. Companies that hires these people in to clean their rooms, they're going to get 7% back from the government, 7.65%.
Is that reflected in this stuff?
Is it going to be reflected in this stuff?
No, everyone's going to be playing games with expense numbers. But the gross income numbers are harder to play the games with, which is why people buy motels always apply gross income multipliers to the gross income.
Did they request the income approach?
Yes.
Well, see, I don't have nothing wrong with 07.
What?
I don't have nothing wrong with 07 income. It hits at 70%, a little bit high, but then we go to 08, it jumps to 76 with less occupancy. Then we go to 09, it jumps.
Well, that's normal. When your gross incomes go down, your operating ratios go up.
Why?
Because you have a fixed component of cost.
I mean, your utilities are going to, I mean, if your light out front is on no matter what, and you have less overall revenue, that percentage is going to increase.
Now, you tell me that 60% of your air conditioners never come on during that day.
I understand.
Your utility should be less than if your 50% of your air conditioners don't come on.
Yeah, so you have a variable cost, but you have fixed costs.
But it's not reflective in the numbers.
Yeah.
There's only about $100,000 difference between the 2 years.
But you know what that is capped at 10%? That's $1 million.
Which is why I'm at 5.4 instead of 4.5.
So a little mistake in the expense line can call it, and Kelly knows this, when you cap it, is a lot of money. And I don't think that we ought to get into that deep reassessment of this property based on what he provided.
That's why I say there's sales of a lot of these crappier old motels down in that, you know, low teens per unit.
And you mean crappy as in a good word?
I as favorable. Well, I mean, 20-year-old frame motel that hasn't been majorly remodeled, that needs touch-up and some other stuff, and as a classification, as opposed to new, flagged, nice, beautiful.
Do you have any more statements or any question more, Danny? Nothing yet? Dave, do you have any more questions about this parcel?
No.
All right, well, all those...
I was just going to say, one thing I can say pretty well, the $6-point-some-odd million that he's got it on for is way up over 20,000 unit. It's like 5 or 6 times gross. It's a 4% cap rate or a 6% cap rate. I mean, the numbers are completely off kilter where he's at.
Okay. So, all right. All those in favor of reducing to 5.4 million, say aye.
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 I'm holding my vote yet.
Aye.
Dave, aye. Opposed? Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries 3-2. Congratulations. Going on to, which one is not the Days Inn? Because that's a two-parcel mix there.
That was the Red Roof Inn.
What BOE number is Red Roof Inn? Can someone help me with that? There it is, BOE number... I've got a parcel number of 000, but I don't have the B. It's 01-005.000. I don't know what BOE number is.
Okay, Red Roof is 0303.
Okay, Red Roof. We're going to go to BOE number 0303.
What did I move to the ballot?
All right, 0303, Kelly Trimble's motion. Let me go back to this, page 2, I believe. Was a motion to reduce appraised value to $1.3 million. Oh, well, I don't know why we brought that one back up, because it passed 3-0.
Oh.
Okay, well, we did. To reduce the appraised value to $1.3
million. And that's like 3.25 times gross.
And is currently on the books, it shows at $1.7 million.
If it passed 3-0, there's no need in us bringing that in. Let's just go ahead and...
We do motion then.
Move to reconfirm.
Motion from Kelly Trimble to reduce valuation to $1.3 million on BOE to 0303. I'll second the motion.
Aye.
And all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 5-0. Way to go, Idaho. I stuck it in there on Danny. He voted yes. I got him when he was weak. Days in. 302 and 290, because I believe those two parcels kind of are intertwined, aren't they?
Yeah. I think we...
Let me recap.
The motion as one number for both of them, and James was going to apportion them between...
Right. The motion was to reduce the combined total to $6.2 million. That was the motion.
Moved.
So Chuck Pennell is going to move to... motion by Chuck, second by Kelly, to reduce the total valuation to $6.2 million. And now for discussion here. For
I'm trying to find the restaurant.
It'll be the
It's a line item.
We're going to find the
restaurant. It's valued at 6.8.
Right. Combining the two.
If you look at the map on those.
Are they separate on here?
They're separate on here.
Okay, then what is 6.8?
Now, hold on. The two parcels are...
This was confusing. That's why I wanted to do it together.
The two parcels are... The northern parcel is the restaurant, the motel office...
I'm not asking that.
Okay.
I'm trying to find out what this assessment I'm looking at right here.
Okay. Yeah.
This is 6.8.
It's 344 units.
Okay. It's the one right below 2.90. 2.90 is supposed to be the red roof? Or the one that you're, Days Inn?
That one. Hold on. Scroll up.
Just a little bit.
A little bit more.
Right
there. That one.
Okay, that is the... Can you take your mouse off for a second? Let me just say this.
What has 344 units?
Okay, that I think
that's
is...
That's the Howard Johnson. So we're on the wrong one here. Let me just go down here.
It should be...
Days Inn?
Right here. Days Inn is this one here, which is on the books for... 1.4
for one of them.
For that, okay. And the other one is the next one right here. The other Days Inn, which is on the books for 5.5.
So it was 5.5.
And
1.4, which is 6.9. The motion was for 6.2 million. Is the motion on the floor?
Okay.
And what we said was James was going to. Decide how to figure
it. Portion between the two.
It's a 424 unit hotel with a hotel, the pool. It just if you looked at the map, some things got a little bit I wouldn't say cockeyed, but they just got a little bit. It's a little bit of creative work there.
James, why can you not combine those two into one parcel? Is there like a section line or something that goes between them?
I don't know, Kelly.
Okay.
Unless they requested it.
Kelly, why don't you go through the explanation here of this,
basically,
why your motion was like this?
Real quick, they grossed, if I can find it, 2008, they grossed $1,485,000, of which $70,000 roughly was the restaurant. I figured the $70,000 on the restaurant would cap at like 8.5%. Divide or something like that, 800 and some thousand. Which leaves $1,415,000 as motel times 3.25. That's 4.5 million plus 800 or 4.6 plus 8 is 5.45 or something. If you really hack those numbers up, you get up around 6.2. This is another one where the numbers really kind of indicate somewhere around 5.5 million. We argued it around, and we're not wanting to come down that hard on them. And I proposed 6.2, and it kind of went through.
So based on what he's saying is the justification of the cap rate, with the cap rate and the income statement here.
I think this is the one they wanted $5 million on. Or,
that's correct.
Yeah. They're looking at cap rates and stuff from other markets, which don't really apply here. Values are higher in Branson just for... God knows why, right? Because people pay more for stuff in Branson. So they were actually looking for way lower numbers. But I think the market supports some higher numbers than that. So anyway, that's my rationale on that. I think I was 3.5 times gross plus 8 or 8.5% cap rate on the motel on the restaurant income.
Is the restaurant income included in their revenue statement?
Yes, it says $1,480,000 in the 2008 numbers. It's $1,485,000,
right.
Of which the bottom line.
Oh, scroll up. Right there. But right there. Right.
Restaurant lease.
Okay.
And that's supposed to be a
$70,000.
Yeah.
And then what they did ask was $4 million on one, and I think $1 million on the other one. So.
Or something like
that. Is that $1.8 million gross?
Yeah, it was $1 million. They asked for $5 million.
No, it's $1 million. 381.
Oh, I couldn't read that. I thought that's me.
And you add them all up to 485.
So they asked for a combined of five,
And we propose a combined of
6.2 down from 6.9. That's the motion on the floor and the second.
Split the difference with them for what you did, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to make a couple comments.
Please. We would hope, James.
Yeah.
Please.
There's no direction for the assessor to figure
this out.
Over 3 years, the Red Roof Inns, a 21% spread from 07 to 09 income expense ratios. There's a 21% spread. And I don't understand it, and you guys can explain it all day long, and I still won't understand it. On the Howard Johnsons, over the 3 years, they've got an 8% spread. On this one you're looking at now, you have got a 21% spread from income to expenses. And the same thing with a restaurant there. They buy they sell $2,000 worth of soda and buy $8,000 worth.
And that's why, because your expense information is all over the map, is why you do your best to not look at net income if you can help it, and look at gross income multiplied, and per unit values.
And some of it, one of these years on that motel, it gets to 88% in 2009 income to expense ratio.
You have to take out depreciation.
Huh?
No, it's not that. It's just,
it has nothing to do with expense.
Yeah, I think they've taken out depreciation. At least I think they took out depreciation.
When we're going to figuring on a standard, we should be looking at the standard motel income to expense ratios, which run 68 to 72. But then we divide into actuals that we're looking at 88.
Well, their average daily rate is $55, their total rooms. They're showing an occupancy of 10%, which is why their expenses are so high.
Good gosh. How do you stand? 10% on 344 rooms?
On 400 and some rooms.
434 rooms.
434.
So they're talking about 43 rooms a day is all their occupancy is.
At $55.
At $55.
Yeah.
What is that?
I think that they...
What does that come up?
Not a lot.
$2,365. I can't buy that. They'd shut the door.
Okay, multiply that times 365 days.
It's a whopping $863,000.
I'm missing something here.
A lot more
than that. So hold on, let me look at this here.
What's that number, 1.3?
55. Total paid rooms, 25,045.
25,000 what?
And 45. At... 55 is 1,000,004-ish.
Right? There you go. Same it is.
Okay.
They had 25,045 rooms rented at that complex in 2008, which comes out to 1.37.
68 rooms per day, and it's how many units?
434.
Which is a 16% occupancy.
Woo!
Which is why their expense ratios are so far out of line. Because their fixed costs are so high.
All I can say is the rest of the motels are going to enjoy this in 2011.
What did you say?
You have a huge job. The motels have gone in the toilet so fast, I don't know how you're going to keep track of it. It's a major loss in value across the market, on especially the older motels. It's been a real disaster out there. We're going to have a bunch of them burned down here shortly.
Before you, Dave, you have questions?
But I'm editorializing.
Yes, you are. No offense.
It's a good time.
I hope we're still friends after this session. But, Dave, what are your thoughts?
Drag strips?
Guys, I'm telling you, it sucks out there.
Okay.
The government aren't seeing this.
All right.
First of all, I don't think the income should be used in the downturn in the economy like this.
All right. Dave, are you ready to vote? I guess I should say.
I guess.
All right. All those in favor of the reduction, say aye.
Aye.
Is this to the 6.2?
To 6.2 combined.
Okay. Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries 4-1. Motion carries 4-1. Danny opposed.
10%
Okay.
Yeah. In which case it would be worth less than that.
Do you need more direction on how to break that down, or are you going to be able to figure that out?
I've already pretty much done that.
Good.
I depend on Cindy.
All right. Now, gentlemen and ladies, Cindy, the floor is yours. We have gone through the entire list.
Wow. So all those papers I gave you?
We're done.
Those are done. Awesome. Okay. Well, this today, a lady called me and said that 1 month ago, approximately, she had sent me two applications for a parcel, and she says, I never heard back from you. And, of course, I never have received it. So I told her the situation, and I told her to fax new applications, but I told her I didn't even know if you guys would be willing to hear these. But it's, you know, you don't have them in your computer, and I don't have any information for you except for just here they are. There's two parcels.
Well, I guess before that, is the board all right with hearing it because they did get it to us before the end of the session?
Yes.
Sure.
I'm fine with that, too, because they could argue the fact. So.
Okay, so we'll need to just pull them up and look at them on here, and Donna can tell you what they're asking for.
Do we need to talk to them?
No, we're going to make a determination.
Okay. And if they're buying out an area, they're going to build a motel.
Oh, I thought it was an airport. They want the county to take it over.
Either that or subsidized housing. There are three things going to go in there.
We haven't seen any of those this year, have we?
That's out at Oakmont.
Oh, is it really?
Only at 24? Yeah, that is.
Oakmont Hills.
I'm going to be...
oh, my God.
What's the request? Disvaluation, Donna?
She says the market value is $126,000, and she purchased it for $254,000 in 2006.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
So everyone look at it first, please.
It's on it what?
What's it on at, Donna? Can you pull that up real fast?
Oh, yeah.
Double click it faster.
I got it.
Hit the I button, actually, over in the top 38, left.
38,250
divided by 19%. Yeah, double click it. It was on the books for, scrolling down, 201.
$201,315.
$323
in the rounding
error. And they paid $254? That's what they're saying. In 2006. $254
is what they, and they didn't appeal it last year, correct? And it was built in 2006, so it was a new one they
bought. Hold on. I bet you it probably wasn't appealed.
We had many sales in the 2000 range. We went over and over and over. In the 200 to 240,000.
It shows a deed book and page of 2009. Like maybe she bought it in 2009.
She bought it in 2009 from a bank, it looks to me like.
And she paid
$126,000. They said it in 2006.
She could have refinanced it possibly in 2009?
She may have lost it back to the bank and rebid it. That's what I'd do if I lived out there.
You're a funny man, James Strahan.
Well, that's what I did. Why not?
Because she paid two.
Because she probably couldn't get the finance the second time around. Don't you people thought about it? I'm entertaining any motions, any ideas, any thoughts?
Motion to deny.
We have a motion by Dave Oliphant to deny.
Second.
We have a second by Kelly Trimble, edged out Danny Strand. Those parcels ended in 028. And all those in favor of the denial, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 5-0.
And who made the motion in the second?
I'm sorry. The motion was from Dave Oliphant. The second was from Kelly Trimble. We got a little excited. Okay. I apologize.
Is this the only one or is there another one?
He beat him, yeah.
That's getting
second
bad.
One.
It's getting bad.
And it is a Pokemon.
Same thing.
I was talking about since it gets later. We should get this all at night.
You know, I haven't seen it yet, but I'm like, ready to go.
Oops.
240 in 2004. She thinks it's worth 130.
It's on the books.
Right.
Books on for 230. It's on the books for 230. Bought it in 04 for 240. And still at Oakmont, correct? James, I don't know. Oakmont's just going to take a dive out there, isn't it? I mean, you're going to just... With all the things that have happened out there, with the developer going bankrupt, the golf course closing.
I wish my kids could get rid of their $50,000 double wide and get one of those.
What'd you say? It
might not. Guys, there's some bargains out
there. $230.
Well, actually,
it's what I'm praised for. They bought it for $240.
Bargains, I think.
You bet. Cornerstone.
This, I'm not sure how much of a bargain it is because the roads aren't done, things are screwed up, there's going to be a huge liability to whoever owns those houses through the POA.
Motion to deny.
We have a motion by Dave Oliphant and a second by Danny Strain. A quick second, by the way.
Too slow.
Oh, yeah. And just clarification on parcel number ending in 029. All those in favor of the denial, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries 5-0. Cindy, the floor is yours. All right, we're not going to adjourn this whole summer session, and I would say we'll probably have a conference call to clean up some stuff maybe on Friday.
Yeah, because we may have a map change. Well, the owners of Kennecup has requested that they pay taxes on portions of what was exempted
last year,
and they want a bill run on for last year.
You can't do that.
Now wait a minute. That means we have to run it on this year, 2010 BOE.
You already have it on for 2010.
No, I don't.
It's exempt. They exempt.
You want to check that? Do you know the parcel number?
No, I have their thing.
Wait. Are you exempting the whole thing?
The motion was to exempt everything, and that's where the motion got a little sloppy.
But it comes to find out that
they leased the land from Joe White, who's not exempt. That's not the question. Yeah, the question is what?
Joe wanted to run two buildings back on as out of the leased land. And we was going to create a bill, he said, for 09, which that's not this bunch's business. But your business is, I have to add it on for the book of 2010.
He just wanted to add a couple of buildings?
Yeah.
Why?
There were houses, I think.
They're personal residence and they're not exempt.
Old house.
Yeah.
That's right out in the middle of the thing, and it's a screwed up part of the lease. So
that's the question.
But
is
I was going to abstain from whatever that was anyway.
Well, here's my question, James. You're going to why don't we just plan on Friday, working through Cindy for a phone call to clear that up.
And if we close the books then, and we run a bill on for 09 under the other BOE, maybe you can reconvene into the 2010 BOE.
Back into regular session.
It's on for 2010. I thought it was.
But that can't be without
approval. It is.
It's already on there. It book closed.
You put it in already, James. Before book closed.
Bob told me.
So
that
this is a 2009 issue only.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Well, then we don't have any issues with that then. Okay.
Bob said we couldn't do anything about it.
I didn't think we could either. So it's 09 set, but it's on books for 10, so we're done. All right, I'm going to recess, and if we need to call, just be available on Friday, but there's nothing tomorrow.
Hang around the office on
I'm probably
Friday.
Sleeping.
No, we'll have a majority somewhere.
Well, there'll be three of you got to be awake, so we're going to have.
Three of us have to be awake.
Okay, and it's for some, it's for goofy shit.
If anything comes up, recess.
And we are
leave a message and have to get back with something. Or can you leave a message if I'm
in the
And you know what? I just wait until the end of the BOE and do it all at once.